You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like a young couple rare, huh? Best podcast, flexed in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw him up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling over half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling or Half Up podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Dairy Young to my Titus O'Neil, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, happy Black History Month.
Happy Black History Month. Happy Black History Month. Shout out to the primetime players,
yes.
To D. Young, to Titus O'Neil, to incredible, incredible wrestlers, great tag team, underrated. We're here. We're doing it in honor of them. Is that why we announced the tag teams? To honor them? Like we're dedicating the episode to them?
Well, I mean, yes, sometimes.
Yes. I guess sometimes.
You know, this month we're celebrating Black wrestlers. unlike every other week, you know.
Now let's just try to remember that for every other episode we record this.
I know.
Do the intro. Don't add us if we just forget one week.
Matt, how's it been? It's been a minute since we've talked, huh?
Yeah, we've been gone for a minute, but we're back with the Wrestling or Hap Up, and that's what it's all about. So happy to be here, happy to do the wrestling things. How's it going over there?
It's going good. We have our new theme song that gets me so pumped up. Oh my gosh. Thank you to Isaiah 8-Ball Bangers for that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's been good. I mean, like last time we talked, the reason why it's been like 10 days is because it was before the Rumble. And, you know, we didn't do anything for, you know, we normally do a post like pay-per-view style podcast, but we decided to leave it for a week. And I'm kind of glad we did because, man, oh man, we'll talk about it. But if we had done that podcast right after that Rumble,
it would probably be
explicit. Like it'd be rated explicit for all the profanities I probably would have used that night. So
I will say that we have had some post pay-per-view episodes we've recorded where I think we've just been like hot, our most bitter episodes. If you just want to hear us like not being particularly funny and just kind of like shooting from the hip, like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that you could go back and listen to those. Don't, though. Don't, and late at night, too.
Midnight. Really were on one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, But other than that, you know, we will get into that with, of course, we have a wonderful guest. But before we do that, we want to get into our news segment. And for me, I love pulling news segments every once in a while. But the Daily Smark, which is an iPhone app. It helps wrestling fans stay up to date on the latest headlines, and you can watch videos from WWE, AEW, Impact, and more. The Daily Smark has all of your favorite wrestling podcasts that you can search, including us. We're on it. We're on the Daily Smark. So you can search, subscribe, and listen to, download the Daily Smark today for free, and follow them on Twitter at the Daily Smark. So yeah, shout out to the Daily Smark. And some news that I pulled from the app. Oh my gosh. Sami Zayn crashed the Jackass premiere. Like, it was so funny. Like, okay, yeah. So we know that Sami Zayn re-signed an extension. Him and KO both re-signed an extension. I can't remember if we talked about it on pod or not. And you know, a lot of people are like, oh, WWE, they're not doing anything with Sami or KO. Why are they re-signing? It's like, you know, again, I stay out of people's pockets. If they want to, wherever they want to sign, that's where they're going to sign. And so Sami re-signed, and he's honestly been working with all of these celebrities, like, all for this past year almost.
I mean, it is interesting that they put him in that spot. Not that obviously we know he's deserving and a great performer and can deliver. And, you know, the more I think about it, like, the last year and a half has been really great for him because he's had time on the mic. Like, I don't feel like he was as vocal and visible. He was a newer heel at that time about a year and a half ago, I think. And so this is awesome for him. And he's a prime time player, if you will. So I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of what we're getting with him. And this Jackass premiere was
so funny.
Wild. It's wild. What are your takeaways from this?
You know, people might think we're sugarcoating it and stuff, but I mean, honestly, like, Sami has had consistent airtime on TV, you know, opposite. Of course, it's been in the mid card, but it's literally been opposite every like mid card talent that they've had. Like he remember they brought out like Jake Paul last year or Logan, one of the Pauls for no reason. Exactly. Yeah. Like, he's just been beefing with celebrities for, like you said, a year and a half now. And this Jackass premiere was so hilarious. He's been beefing with Johnny Knoxville since for the past few weeks when Johnny Knoxville announced he was going to be in the Rumble and all that. And of course they had their Rumble moment, but like, it was just funny to see him on the red carpet getting, as if you're watching our YouTube version, hopefully you're watching. We have a video of Sami being escorted out by security.
Yes, the video. Yes, and we've added that to our playlist of clips too, if you want to actually watch the video. But wow, yeah, this was interesting.
So good. This is such a good look for Sami. I love him so much. I'm so glad he, you know, it feels like he's doing what he wants to do. So
I will say, like, it was nice just to hear the back and forth between Sami and Johnny Knoxville. Like, they really went at it verbally for a while. And I will say, unlike Ronda Rousey, Johnny Knoxville is a good promo. You know, he has some things to say that are funny, interesting, whatever. Who was the... I wish there was a good picture of it. I know there's not, but... Speaking of Ronda Rousey, it looked like she was there sitting next to Johnny Knoxville. Someone with the braids.
No, I was like, if that had to either be, what's his name, like Chris or something?
Not Chris.
Or is it Chris?
Or Chris has been gone.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. Dolph Ziggler? That was my second guess. I was like, is that Dolph Ziggler?
I know who it was. It was Dave England. He had Ronda Rousey calls the pregnancy braids. Literally, she had the same. She calls them that look. I'm just letting you know that this is what I see. I'm not pregnant. I don't know. I haven't been there. I'm just repeating what the one and only says. But anyway, yes, great hair on his part. And you know, check it out. Just for the braids.
I don't remember him having that much hair. It's
20 years later.
Yes, exactly. Either way, it was very funny, yes, nonetheless. Very funny.
Very funny. And I mean, I guess that I wasn't interested in Johnny Knoxville being in the Rumble. I mean, right. And I don't think, you know, it's not fun because he's taking that spot away from some other people. And, you know, there's a lot that you could say for having a celebrity.
Yeah,
in
we'll
there.
Talk about that. Yeah,
we'll talk about that. But, you know, they're continuing what it seems like they're continuing this feud. So,
right.
I don't know. I like Sammy we'll having see. Stuff to do. So that's always great. Right.
Exactly. We also, so we were talking about, so last batch of WWE releases, the ones that we talked about live on air as we were recording.
The ones that hit us worthy. While we were live.
While we were live back on November 4th, they have now completed their 90-day non-compete clause. So, of course, the rumblings are rumbling. Mm-hmm. Amongst those people released were Keith Lee, Nia Jax, Karrion Kross and Scarlett, and
everybody.
No, she was in the original group.
You would be better off naming people who weren't released. That
exactly. Yeah. So the rumors are already abound that Keith Lee may be in talks to join AEW already. So, I mean, where did you get that? That's like so fan made. I hope you're looking at our YouTube. But nothing's been announced yet. I mean,
yeah, shout out to whoever created this. You Google them. That the person I credit whoever's picture comes up this when is. You search Keith Lee AEW because they created go. This.
Yeah. So I mean, if this is true, I mean, I love Keith Lee. We were on here mourning the whole him getting released for no apparent reason at all,
and then being dragged after because he apparently was difficult to work with and had a bad attitude, which does not sound right at all. It sounds like kind of some lies.
It sounds like yes. So
horse manure.
Yeah. So if he goes there, I mean, I really hope it goes well. Like I'm excited. If he does end up in AEW, I want to see him. I just want him back on my TV. And I hope they treat him, you know, well, because that's the thing. And I,
I'm just laughing because they're, you know, it's going to be the Tony Khan thing. They're going to give him like, you know, he's going to have a win once a month on TV. Ooh. Just so Tony Khan can talk about that. Ooh. Not going to be in any. I don't know. I didn't say. Never heard of him.
I know. I'm just trying to. I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here. Like I would give WWE. You know what I'm saying? Because like somebody said, if AEW signs Keith Lee and books him how he should be booked, they could make WWE look so foolish, which is true. Which is honestly true.
But also. I would just say too, like to be very clear, he should be. If we're talking about main eventers, he should be a main eventer in AEW.
Yeah. He should be a main eventer anywhere. Like that's he didn't need to go to NXT. Like I don't know why he went to NXT like first, to be quite honest. He was one of those people who could have gone straight to the main roster, but I mean, you know, we don't know what those decisions are, you know, when they first make them. So I can't believe WWE let him go like at all, but it might, you know, I don't know.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Most, you know, I mean, look, we could probably say that for a lot of people who were released last year. Right. But Keith Lee is definitely in that like top tier people who it makes no sense. They just completely threw that away and wasted his talent and disrespected him. On the way out with Bearcat Lee. So let's hope that we can move past that onto brighter, more positive things for him. I mean, it would be really great, actually. And I haven't seen rumors of this, but it would be great also to see Mia Yim in AEW with Keith Lee, just because it's nice to know that like they get to be together in backstage and or whatever. So fingers crossed. I'm going to get my candles. I have a candle. I have a candle here for Keith Lee, hoping that he's going to be okay.
I still don't understand how both of them are gone from this company. Like I am so sick. Just thinking
they
about
weren't treating them well though.
No, they weren't.
They
no,
were
but
paying
I mean,
them.
Period. I mean, period. Like gone from the company, but also like, yeah, not using them, not utilizing them at all. So sad. Very sad. I'm so sad right now. And then we have to talk about
news.
Yeah. So shout out to Derek from the Java Has a Squadcast Facebook group and for tagging us in this on Twitter, because Lord knows.
No.
Nia Jax explains why she got released.
I just, as you talk about this,
oh my God. It's just so hilarious.
The picture, this came up. I'm going to explain the behind the scenes. This picture came up when I searched Nia Jax, and I feel like it is a good representation of Nia Jax in many ways. So take it for what you will.
But yes. Oh man. So Nia Jax, she explained her release, and just like we thought, just like we speculated mostly that night and the next day, but then she tried to play us. She was basically she was released because she's anti-vax. She has refused to get vaccinated. She is currently still unvaccinated from what she says. Excuse me. She went on Renee Paquette.
Yes.
She went on Renee Paquette's podcast explaining that she is unvaccinated. And then she later followed that up when people, of course, on Twitter were coming at her, because that is people on Twitter's number one job when it comes to Nia Jax or Lena Fanini, a.k.a. Nia Jax, should we say?
Oh, damn.
FKA. Nia Jax.
Yes.
And then she followed it up by saying that there's a lot of pro athletes out there who buy fake vaccine cards.
Did she say that
from their doctors?
Did she explicitly say pro athletes, or did she just say a lot of your faves, basically?
She said, let me pull up the tweet, but she said pro athletes.
Okay, because that's how I saw it being covered by different sources, but then I was like, wait, is she talking explicitly about wrestlers or?
That's what, from what I read, Derek sent us the article of it from Cage Side Seats.
Right.
And she said her tweet verbatim was, ha 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 ha. I stand by that too. Honey, if you really think that all your favorites don't feel the same as I do, you're sadly mistaken. I know a lot of people in many professional sports that just paid and got a real card from a doctor. So that's what she said. Which, girl, she's saying the quiet part out loud.
It's like, okay, I'm not like, I would not, I would encourage people to get vaccinated,
please,
and all that stuff, but yeah, like, if you're gonna be like, just don't expose people like that. Do expose people like that.
I mean, right. Yeah.
But also, I don't know what she's thinking or what she's doing. And honestly.
So, of course, under that tweet, in the quote tweets, people are like, that's illegal. And the funny thing is, what she just described is exactly what happened with like the steroid trial. Like, this is literally what happens. Like, And she didn't say anything that Aaron Rodgers hasn't been saying for the past 3 months.
But you can't believe anything that Aaron Rodgers says, because it's just like so out there.
Right.
So
am I surprised that they paid real doctors just to give them a fake vaccine card and write the numbers incorrectly? No, because again, if you watch the steroid trial, any documentaries on the steroid trial, that's exactly what the doctors were doing. They were giving them painkillers, steroids, whatever. Writing it legal prescriptions for them for stuff that was illegal. You know what I'm saying? So like, this doesn't surprise me at all. I thought it was very hilarious that she rolled said that. And then it makes me think, can she be compelled, if somebody really wanted to press the case, could they compel her to reveal the people who this happened to? You know, but basically she said that because she remained unvaccinated, they said she could not fulfill her duty. She even offered to take a pay cut. And they're like, no, you literally can't. You cannot be let into some arenas without being vaccinated. Like, we know, we went to Brooklyn. Like, you can't get into that arena without a vaccine card. But again, you can get a fake one. But I guess if you get a fake vaccine card, but you still tell everybody that you are anti-vax, like, they're going to put two and two together, girl. So,
yeah.
So, you know, here I've always said we all know science. I'm from science. You know, I always say you should get the vaccine.
Yeah.
If you don't get the vaccine, that's your personal choice. But guess what? Stay at your ass at home. I'm sorry. Like, if you can't.
Yeah. I mean, but it is.
If your convictions are that strong, then you need to, then you can't go to places where unvaccinated are allowed. Like, stand in it. If you're going to stand in it, stand in it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that.
Yeah.
I'm not condoning.
No, I'm with you.
But I'm just saying,
and,
like.
You know, I know. I mean, yeah, like, you know, be proud to be who you are. Don't fake it. Don't fake it.
No, don't put other
people
in danger.
That's like
the
life lesson that I'm pulling out of it. And don't put other people in danger.
Yeah, don't put other people in danger by going out and doing things unmasked.
But apparently they did ask her if she. Okay, if I had to like kind of try to understand this. So I believe I saw in Fightful that they asked her if she wanted to be in the Royal Rumble this year. I'm guessing that there was something about the vaccination, but I the way that I remember reading it was that she declined. So they wanted her back.
You talked about this.
They allegedly wanted her back.
There's a lot of people that are alleging that WWE asked them to be in the Rumble, and I don't.
I could see it with her. Most are the one who mentioned it.
Yes, I was about to say, I know for a fact, like I said, if the only thing that's keeping Nia Jax unemployed right now is not getting vaccinated.
Well, like, and then also like just talking too much, like because like the thing is, I mean, we know that there's so much to say about this, but like we know that WWE is what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. Like there are a lot of politics, not I don't mean backstage politics, I mean like broader world politics that tie in with the McMahons and Trump and you know other people like that, and you know it's it is what it is. But I think that Nia talking about people doing something that's wrong could piss some people off, like other people who are in the company who are getting these fake vaccination cards. And
I agree, but so also that's
not great for her. I think it's great that she's talking about it, but I don't see them. I could see them being bitter and not bring her back for stuff like that.
But it doesn't matter. WWE loves her. Like WWE.
Let's see.
They love it. They love the heat that she draws.
Yeah, they do.
We know that she's not the biggest hit backstage. You know what I'm saying? Even though most of that might be fabricated. She also talked about how her time on Total Divas, how once Lana left Total Divas, she was told to dial it up to become the villain on the show.
Yeah.
Which I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, it's very clear. It's pretty clear because she was really, really.
She was a lot.
Show.
Yeah,
I was watching episodes like maybe a month or so ago, and it was a lot. So
it was a lot. Yeah. Oof. So you know, it doesn't matter if the locker room doesn't like her.
Yeah, let's hope. Vince, I mean, it would be nice to see things work out for her. It's good to see things work out for everybody, but she has so much talent and potential. So I mean, we'll see what she chooses to do, because it seems like a lot of it's in her court.
Yeah,
maybe she doesn't want to be in wrestling anymore. And I remember she's tweeted that, but like, you know how people are when they leave Survivor and they're like, oh, I would never do this again. Don't ask me back. And then you like ask them 2 weeks later and they're like, sure, of course I'll come back. So let's see what happens here. But very interesting that Nia Jax.
Very interesting. I mean, once that bank account starts drying up, I think we'll see what happens real quick.
I like the idea of us like having the Nia Jax bank account tracker.
Yeah.
Just like, as it slowly.
It slowly decreases.
Oh, that's so sad. Well, I mean, you know what? Okay. But anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. So, yeah, so that's all of the news. We gotta get to the show. So If you want to...
Are we recording? What?
I know, right? If you want to send us an email, send it to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. Yeah, it's a website.com. You can also reach us on Twitter using @WrestlingRehapUp and join the conversation using #WrestlingRehapUp. And then, of course, you can find us in our unofficial official Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast. I'm just going down the list. And then, of course, it's the beginning of the month. So it's a perfect time to become an RHAP patron.
Do it.
Yeah, do it. You'll get special access to special podcast feeds, patron 5 for 5, patron mafia games, exclusive like time to talk to Rob. So just go to www.patreon.com/RHAP and sign up today.
Wait, Mari, the one and only Rob Cesternino?
Yeah.
From Survivor Amazon and Survivor All-Stars and rumored for Survivor Blood versus Water?
Okay, I didn't know all that, but sure. And again, if you can subscribe to us at our podcast feed, go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed, where you'll be able to subscribe on all platforms. And then hopefully you're watching our wonderful faces here on YouTube. Go to YouTube, go to Rob Has a Podcast YouTube, and search Wrestling Rehap Up, and you can find all of our video podcasts there.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
All right, Matt, I think we have a special guest for you to announce.
Okay. Let me clear my throat. Wait, Mari, this guest has my name.
Yes, they do.
It's a Matt. I'm Matt. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
You buried the lead there, but okay.
This is confusing. I don't know how. Okay. Well. This hasn't happened to me before, but we'll see how this goes.
We'll see how this goes.
Making his way to the podcast, hailing from Long Island, New York. He's a bona fide professional, a veteran of the podcast game, a defender of unpopular Survivor seasons. This man is Long Island Ice Z. Some might call him the ultimate broski. Others might call him other nicknames for Zack Ryder. Yes. He is a man who covers Big Brother, The Challenge, Survivor, and Glee. Please welcome from the Choir Room Pod and from Dom and Colin's podcast, the one, the only, naturally caffeinated, freshly squeezed.
You never know how that's going to go until it happens to you. Yeah. Those intros, man, you guys are on something else with that. Hello, thank you guys for having me.
Hi, Matt Liguori. Hello. How are you?
Hello. How is it going? Yeah. I'm very excited to be here with you guys today.
Yes, we're excited to have you on. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited to have you. Maybe it's just your presence and maybe it's the intro, but I feel like I'm going to pass out now. Yeah. So
what? Probably the intro.
I'm going to faint in your presence. It's great to be here. It's great to podcast with you and to talk about wrestling.
I'm sorry to inconvenience you with the whole two Matt thing. I mean, I just did a whole podcast series with a fellow Mad Matt Gagan, and we talked all through the High School Musicals. That was fun. Nice. So it's, I guess, easier when it's just one-on-one Matt on Matt, but I did feel for Mari here, who's going to have to find a way to, you know, the whole
we Chris should all back and forth. Let's call Matt Gagan up and see if
see
what he's up to right now.
I'll be out Matt.
All of the Matts. It would be the King of the Matts tournament.
Mari's halfway there. The first two letters, you know.
I know. Yeah,
you could just change it up, Mari. Add like a crawl over your R and the I.
Love it.
Oh, Matt, it's been so great. You were one of those people that I was like, oh, I know Matt LaGuardia watches wrestling. Yeah. I'm going to invite him on the podcast. And then I would look up and I'm like, why haven't we had him on the podcast?
Highly requested.
I forgot to ask for him.
Highly requested too. I know a few months back we asked the folks in Job as a Squadcast who they wanted on, and you were one of the people who they mentioned. So you're a big deal. And one of our big gets of this podcast.
Stop it.
No offense to Ryan Popola, Scott Yeager, and others with large platforms who come on.
Well, to be clear, watches wrestling is very relative for me. Definitely watched a lot of wrestling as a child, somewhere around high school. I guess that kind of disappeared. And as Mari knows, and maybe Matt does as well, I definitely still tap in every time that the Royal Rumble comes around, because how could you not watch the Royal Rumble? It's like required viewing.
Yeah, we love that.
You definitely asked at the right time, because as I told you, Mari, I would have been watching the Royal Rumble anyway, whether or not I was coming on here.
Well, you know what, Matt? Like, it's better to tap in than to tap out. That's one of the biggest lessons in wrestling. And we're going to get into it.
Yeah. And we are so excited. And you know, we pride ourselves on being able to make wrestling fun for casuals, hardcore fans, all that good stuff. So it's very exciting to hear that, you know, you tap in. This is the perfect time. This is the time that we all get really hyped.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less so now than a week ago, but
I can sense that.
But this is the time, and we're just so glad to have you here. So you did mention that you grew up watching wrestling. Who was some of your like favorite like childhood wrestlers and your favorite matches?
Yeah, I mean, I was all in as a kid. It was like, you know, it was before I really got into the reality TV world, and you know, everybody has to obsess over something. And for me, it was really wrestling. I was about to start pulling out props before coming on here, but I decided against it. Oh. So I was like, I have two belts. I have Cena's spinner belt. I have the World Heavyweight Championship belt. Obviously, you know, the toy, like the kid replicas. Mm-hmm. I have the action figures. I had like a notebook that I would like make my own WWE superstar profiles in, like I would
down
like their stats and stuff. It was my reality TV obsession as a child, and then I guess as reality TV itself started to take over, I kind of lost that. Favorites, I mean, just everybody who was big 10-15 years ago. We'll talk about it here in this podcast, but Lita is probably my number one on the women's side. Trish Stratus, that whole era, that's why I love the Women's Rumble so much, because we get to see so many of those legends they all come back. The Hardy Boys, big fans of them. Just so many people that like have bounced all around from this show to this network to this company to that company. And I was spending some time looking at the rosters of like who's on what show these days, and I'm like, how did they get over there? Like, what is Big Show doing not in W? Like, I feel like I have a lot of questions as far as like how did this person end up here go, not obviously about like how this whole situation works. It's how did they lose this whatever. It's
that's a great question. Those are great questions, because
there are questions
we have a lot of those questions too.
You probably have more insight, because like I let me just start with I guess my number one question here. So back, you know, when I tapped out of being a wrestling fan, or, you know, out of being a regular fan, I guess I should say, it was WWE, and then, you know, TNA was still going on, and I think that's still what Impact is, right? It's still
Impact is
family. But AEW is like a third to that, right? That's a new.
AEW is new, and it's arguably the second.
It's definitely the second.
I mean, I see the roster. I understand that. Exactly. Just from looking at the roster, they've got, you know, big names over there.
But also they're on TBS. They're on TBS. They were on TNT.
Okay.
So they had that big deal. And also keeping in mind that like WWE, I think when we were all kind of growing up, was on TNT, I believe, at one point.
Or maybe WWE that was jumped around. So
maybe that was
much.
TNN.
It was TNN.
I was so surprised to see. I was like, was on USA still? Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then they're still on USA, right? Which is kind of wild.
Yeah.
So
which is funny because people like, you know, nowadays it's such a, they make a big deal about, you know, WWE just signed this big old contract with Fox and does, you know, and all this multi-million-dollar contract with USA. Like, USA. It's like, do you guys not... Like, were you not around 20 years ago? Like, them hopping channels and making TV deals, this is nothing new. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's nothing to, like, either praise or denigrate. This is what the business is. You just, you're just not used to it because WWE was localized on USA Network for so long. That's why when the SmackDown and Fox deal broke, everybody's like, oh, my God. You know, it was a lot of money, too. But, like, this is, I told you, I grew up watching, tried to grow up watching SmackDown on UPN. So it bounces around. Yeah.
It's and so easy for people to find it now. Like, I can't even people that maybe like younger, the younger crowd today will never understand the pain of like having to like find the pay-per-view on, you know, on the TV and like buy it. And I mean, the struggle for me was always like, the cable bill wasn't always paid in the house here. So it was like, if the bill wasn't paid, you couldn't buy the pay-per-view. And it would be Sunday, 8 p.m. And I'd be screaming as a child at my dad, you have like, why it won't play? And he'd be on the phone with Cablevision trying to finish paying the bill so that he could add it on. And then it's 8:30. The show's already halfway started. People won't get the struggle today. But
Matt, I'll give you this, by the way, just to compare. I don't, maybe once, my parents bought me a WWE pay-per-view maybe once, but I used to be able to like go on to the channel where the pay-per-view was airing and you wouldn't be able to see it, but it'd be like a blurry, like fuzzy situation. And I would watch pay-per-views through the fuzzies. I'd be like, is that Lita there?
Obviously we couldn't like Trish? Look at our phones and see real-time updates of what's going on. Like that, you found out on Raw the next day.
I guess I'll raise you both. one of my mom's boyfriends had a hookup that I don't know was necessarily legal.
Oh, no.
So I'd be like, so whenever she would like go over to his house, I'd be like, oh, we need to go over there on Sunday, the 25th.
She's like, but it's Valentine's Day today. We were going to go over. I was going to bring you. And you're like, no. Let's wait another week and a half.
Yes.
Mother's Day, Father's Day, whatever day it was. Yeah, if the show was on, I needed to find a way to get to the screen.
I would make sure we'd be at his house on certain days so I could watch certain pay-per-views.
Yeah. Wow.
So, yes, and exactly. Kids these days would never know. No, they would never know that show.
Whatever it is, and there it is.
Yeah, they're now premium live events. They're not even pay-per-views anymore because I don't even think they... Maybe they? No, I don't think they even let you pay per view for them. No, they don't. I think it's just you have to upgrade your Peacock account, so that's why it's a premium live event. So
speaking of,
like Matt said, though, now we have social media, so
exactly.
The clips, you should watch if you want to watch it, but you can just very easily follow along anywhere to find these results playing out.
Yeah, or people posting illegally on like YouTube or I don't even think people do that anymore because I mean they do, but it's so easy to watch. I will also mention, since we talked about networks so much, there was news in the last week or so about WWE signing some kind of deal with Disney not New Zealand.
Was it India?
I don't know why I was thinking New Zealand.
They're going to open up WWE World in the Disney parks?
Oh, no. I know exactly where it's Indonesia. It was Indonesia. There we go. Mm-hmm. So, they signed a deal. And it's like big news, big deal. Is WWE going to be bought by Disney? Who knows? But these conversations continue and a lot of people don't even have TVs anymore. So
that's actually been a rumor for like
years,
2 or 3 years now. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. About them. Which is kind of funny because Stephanie McMahon originally said that WWE wanted to be as big as Disney.
She had
Stephanie McMahon.
How's
she doing?
Yeah, she's doing well.
Yes. She's not on the TV, so that's great.
Good no? for her. Yeah, I hope she's happy wherever she is or whatever.
And like that's another big difference of just, you know, as I'm like diving back into like see where everybody's at these days, just to see like Triple H's name on everything now that he's like a part of all of these, like the top of the line. I mean, I knew he was kind of getting there. Obviously, he's been with Stephanie for the longest time, but to see that he's like, you know, the guy and all this stuff, I was like, okay.
Yeah. And he's actually, it's so strange with him, but he in the last several months has lost a lot of power. They've released a lot of his like his NXT guys that he's, because NXT was really his thing and they shifted away from him with that.
Mm-hmm. They took it away from him.
So it's kind of wild. I can't even imagine what his life
his whole
is like.
Is all over the board with his company.
I know. Very, and it doesn't even seem like family. It sounds like it'd be an awkward Thanksgiving table to sit around. Right. Maybe they stayed with like the other side, with Triple H's side of the family this year for the holidays.
So let's get into the Royal Rumble. Matt Scott, what was your favorite and least favorite moment from the Rumble?
From the pay-per-view overall.
Yeah, we're going to do the pay-per-view overall.
So. That is a great question. You know, here's the thing. There were a lot of fun moments. I don't know. It's hard to tell because overall, if you really look back at it, it just didn't like come together at all.
Right.
I have a very specific moment in the back of my mind, and it's Maryse doing a Hurricane Rana.
Yes.
I was like, oh my gosh. I didn't know that was possible. I didn't know
she didn't know
that
it was possible.
She didn't. In the moment, that was one that I had a big reaction to. Actually, my real favorite moment, maybe Mickey James coming out with the Impact Wrestling Championship.
Whoa, right.
That was another question I had. How did this happen? Why?
WWE broke. Something broke, man. Yeah. Because this isn't right. Like, this doesn't happen. Not only was Mickey James coming out to her own original song, her theme song for Impact Wrestling, Hardcore Country, which our previous guest, WWE Philippines announcer Stan C, apparently marked out to in the Philippines broadcast on WWE Network. But also she had her championship. It said Impact Wrestling Champion, like
right there.
Why are you just going to, like, WWE promoting Impact Wrestling right there, right
weird.
There.
I mean, yeah, I was about to ask if this was like a normal thing, but it doesn't.
No, it's
to be
not.
My
no, it like it truly was like the game changing for WWE. Like, of course, people are going to sit here and be like, AEW does Impact crossovers all the time. Yes, they do. That's true. That's good. That's one of the good things that built them. However, WWE never does that. WWE barely acknowledges their company, other companies anymore since WCW. So like to have her come out there, have her come out to her original song, holding the championship. I know I yelled when I was like, the championship. Like, in contrast, Queen Zelina and Carmella, who are the women's tag team champions, didn't even come out in their belts to their
right.
So like that is amazing.
And I think Dana Brooke's still the 24/7 champion.
Yeah, she is. Mm-hmm.
She didn't have her championship with her either. And then the only other person, Charlotte had her championship with her. That was like it.
Yeah. Charlotte did have hers?
She did.
Yeah, she did.
She was the only other one who had a championship.
Yeah. So that's really exciting. So yeah, Mickey's time in the Rumble was not good.
Right.
Well, mostly because I don't know, Matt, can you Matt Scott, can you pull up? I guess anytime I'm asking for a demanding of an action.
Yeah, you don't even have to clarify.
Whatever I sound like.
Do it.
Yes, Lita and Mickey had their moment in the Rumble. But I was going to say, I guess we'll get into it when we get into our least favorite stuff. But yeah, let's keep going. Let's keep going on the high note.
Keep going.
Yeah, let me go to my favorite. I'll do my favorite first.
We're pumped. We love it.
Let's do the favorites, then we'll do least favorites.
Wrestling is fun.
Yeah. So sometimes. My favorite part of the premium event overall, the premium event was Roman. Like, Roman literally leveled the fuck up. I'm sorry, I had to say it because, like, mm-hmm. like for a character who some people have been complaining has become stale because, you know, he's a heel, but he's been a heel for 500 something days. So people are like, it's so stale. Like the Roman Seth Rollins match. Oh my freaking gosh. Like that, it was like so good from like start to finish. Seth Rollins being the troll that he is and came out in the Shield. I'm getting excited thinking about it again. Seth Rollins came out in the Shield gear with the Shield song to mess with Roman. He busted out every 2013 move he could remember.
Yeah.
Basically saying like, you know, he's always had the upper hand on Roman. Like that's the in-ring psychology of it all. It's like he's always had the upper hand. And Roman was always like, you're living in the past. I'm on God mode right now. Like you can't beat me. And I mean, Roman... Roman choking out Seth and then not breaking the hold. I was really like, dog, I need you to break that hold because that looks really bad.
It's like, I think he's dead. Like, I think he needs to be dead at this point. Like,
exactly.
He can't move. Because like,
the ref held Seth's hand. Like, so when people do the pass out, you know, back in my day, when people used to pass out from submissions, you would think of The Rock because they would do the hand lift and the drop. They would drop the hand three times and it was always The Rock who would just
like right at the two and at, like right when the hand is dropping down for the third time. It's like the Hulk or even like Hulk Hogan hulking up type of thing.
Yeah.
But The Rock was iconic for doing it.
Exactly. And so that's why I was like, we don't get that much. We don't get that
almost never
at all anymore. So when Charles Robinson went to do it and Seth's hand reached for the rope, I was like, oh, that's amazing. Some people are saying that it could have been like, not a botch, but Seth couldn't get to the rope by himself. So Charles Robinson helped him. If it was.
Put it all the way over
I mean,
there.
I see what they were going for. When I first saw it, I was like, okay, it looked like he helped him, but not that he really, really helped him. It's not like he just put it on there. You could still see, I wish Seth would have let his hand drop just like a little bit further before he grabbed it. But either way, it was amazing. Doesn't matter. Roman didn't let go of the hold and got disqualified. And then takes a chair and starts beating Seth with it.
Yeah.
Reminiscent, like closing the whole circle on the Shield. And then Roman comes out and beats the crap out of Brock during Brock's match too. Like Roman literally just ascended to another level of peak heeldom. Not for me, because I love Roman, so it don't matter for me, but for everybody else. And I booed him because that's what you're supposed to do. But it was just so good. I think Roman single-handedly saved that pay-per-view for me because the Rumbles were ass. Like the Rumbles, the men and the women's Rumbles were not good. So Roman coming out all night and just disrupting stuff was my favorite part of the overall premium event. Malagori, what do you think?
Roman Reigns is like the guy, right? I mean, my timeline for myself is that like whenever Roman Reigns made his way to the WWE is right when I had kind of been out at that point. So all that I've ever seen or heard from him over the years has been just hearsay of like, no, I know who the guy is and I know how a lot of fans feel about him at whatever time and whatever pay-per-view you know he pops up at that I'm actually watching. I would see him. But I feel like he was hurt for a while, right? At some point.
Yeah, he had cancer. Ooh. He had leukemia. Yeah. Yes. So he was out for a while.
I feel like that was at like a point when I was like almost getting back a little bit more in and he was not in for a while, whatever. But yeah, I mean, just getting to see him at this event really gave a good example of just how much of a star this guy is, you know, within this company. My favorite of the entire event for me was not something I saw a lot of people talking about, but it was the tag match, Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Miz and Maryse. Mm-hmm. I'm just a very big Miz fan. I mean, you know, I guess it coming from the challenge roots of it all. The Miz making. I mean, I've been a fan of the Miz since he made his way to the WWE before I even knew what a challenge even was. I was WWE first challenge came only in the past couple years, really. So I've been a Miz fan forever. And now just like having that whole connection and just, I don't know, I feel like he's still got one foot in the challenge world. He does some reunions sometimes. So I just like have appreciated him even more as time has gone on. And this match was so much fun. I mean, the two of them, you know, especially with the angle that like Maurice was like not really wanting to do the match in the first place. But then, as you said, like there were some impressive moments with her as it got going. I was a big enough fan of Beth Phoenix when she was like the big star of the women's division back in the day. I mean, not as much as like I was of like the Lita and Trish era, but so just to see all four of these competitors in the ring was a lot of fun, and I thought there were some good moments, so that was my highlight.
This was true. A lot of fun, and you know, very I don't know why I don't know, they did a really good job with the storytelling and the build to this, and every week that we were on here I feel like I was complimenting like, oh, they're having a promo battle where like Edge isn't saying anything. It's just Beth and Maurice like going back and forth, and it's really entertaining, and they're really good at this because they've been doing it for a long time. But I wasn't expecting Maurice to like, Maurice plays her role so well, and I think always kind of has, and you know, it's, that was awesome. I don't know how much more of these two couples we'll see, but they did an amazing job. I think that's a good
Phoenix
highlight.
Look here, like the hair, the everything. I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if this is like standard for her or if I just haven't seen her in a while, but I was like, they really, she's all in here going for it. She was hungry during that
match.
It's
kind of a new look.
I was going to say, like in this return over the last month or few weeks, she's had the, like the fiery, almost like a phoenix. It's like her hair is kind of like a phoenix. Maybe that's what she's going for. It just came to me.
It's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this one. I mean, just the second pick there, the women's rumble. I know that, you know, a common opinion has been that both of them haven't been, both of the rumbles weren't strong. Mm-hmm. But as I said earlier, I just love the women's rumble so much because you get to see so many of those returning, you know, old timers. So it's just always great to see them, even if it's for like 3 seconds, as, you know, someone comes flying in and flying out of the ring. It's just great to have those moments. Ivory, I was like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Like, oh, 30 seconds.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some of the.
Yeah, I was going to say that was one of my notable, noted moments.
So
that was
she really gets like
fun.
Picked up and dropped out right outside. It's like, we're not going to break any bones in this 56-year-old woman or her.
So let's talk about, before we move on to our least favorite stuff, let's talk about each rumble here. So Matt kind of started off, Matt LaCoy kind of started off here. The women's rumble, unfortunately, it had some major flaws. Mostly because I was going to ask you, Matt, remember, can you pull up the Fightful article we were talking about with the planning of that match there? Apparently the planning of the match, didn't go as expected. TJ Wilson did not, produce the match, which I'm like, how sway? And which is really interesting to me because just 3 or 4 days before the Rumble, we just got a whole bunch of string of interviews of all the women praising TJ Wilson. Like Liv Morgan was praising. Yeah. She was praising TJ Wilson. Mm. No, Natalya was retweeting all of it. I think I was it Bianca was praising. Like three separate women had praised TJ Wilson and the matches that he did literally like the day or two before the Rumble.
So I think that what I'm like remembering and seeing as I like look at the post to from Fightful is that I believe he was confirmed to not be at the Rumble for like a few weeks or to not produce the match for a few weeks. So it also, they implied that there was some kind of like incident or some kind of disagreement. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hell that means, but that might be one reason they were praising him so much. I don't know.
I think so.
We'll probably never know, but
well, we'll probably know if somebody gets fired. But like,
well, yeah,
no,
which
I think
won't happen.
Which hope doesn't happen. But I think that's why I'm looking back at it now. It's like the women were coming out in support of him because they knew he wasn't going to be it, and it was kind of like some subtweeting, and that's why Natalya was retweeting all of it. That's what I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. But like, I was astounded when I heard he didn't produce a match. But then as soon as I heard it, I'm like, that makes sense. That makes sense because the match itself, like, it was very pocketed and there was some stuff that you pop for and stuff like that. But to be quite honest, there was no flow. Somebody on Twitter described it as like, It's like, it was just like so many things were happening, but there's no through line. There was no real big story. Some of the people that we wanted to like match up didn't even get to match up. Now, is it because of certain things? I don't know. It felt like a whole bunch of little stories, but that didn't match up. Yeah.
They overlooked a lot of the story. And Mike, we talked about this pre-Rumble, or I mentioned at least pre-Rumble, that a few years ago, for instance, they had the first Rumble and Lita and Trish were both in it, but they didn't have them square off. And like you speculated that like, oh, well, maybe it's like a tag team later in the year at the Evolution pay-per-view, which they did. Yeah, but they did. But even still, like, just have them go to face to face. We see it all the time with the Bella twins going face to face and then teaming up and like all of that. So they did miss some opportunities to tell stories. I will say to their credit, though, like, I liked what they had going on with Cameron and Naomi and Sonya. That was one good story, but that was like maybe the best example of my best carrying a story through. Because otherwise, when was there a story that really carried through?
So we can talk about it. So Sonya, Naomi, and the Cameron storyline, great. Sonya comes out first. She doesn't get into the ring. She goes on commentary, talks on commentary. Then Cameron comes out, which that was a surprise. We did not know Cameron was coming out. The former Funkadactyl, Naomi's former partner. She comes out. She's just doing her girl bye thing. And then Sonya's on commentary. He's like, wait, that's Naomi's partner? And they're like, yeah. There's like, she's like, so if something were to happen to her, Naomi would be mad. I was like, oh my God, don't do it, Sonya.
I missed that in real time, actually. Really? And when I was rewatching, this was one of the moments that I rewatched. And it's like, damn, that was
so hilarious.
Just like, you could hear her thought process of like, oh, that's Naomi's friend? Okay, wait, I'm going to get in the ring.
Yes.
And, you know, I will say, just on a note about Cameron, was never known as the best wrestler. People would make fun of her. She Matt, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a point where she very early on her in-ring work like tried to pin someone when they were face down instead of on their back.
No, I haven't seen this.
Well, we're not going to dwell on it too much because my point is that she grown. She was doing, there wasn't a lot that we saw her, but obviously she looked amazing. And her in-ring work also was amazing. And she was jumping all over. And there wasn't a lot, obviously, but like she did the job and the good job. Yeah, and and we'll kind of see. We'll kind of see if they bring her back. And then they acknowledged it when she was out, when Naomi came out, gave her a little hug, ran in, fought Sonya.
Yeah.
And
eliminated Sonya. Yeah.
So eliminated her.
I love Naomi so much.
To the face.
Oh my God. Yeah. Naomi eliminated Sonya. And then we're thinking, okay, it's done. Nope. Because Naomi gets kicked out herself, but Naomi saves it with her feet. So we are looking for our patented Naomi save. She's been having like the Kofi Kingston spot where she'll do a unique save. She lands on her hands with her feet still in the ring. And then we look up and Sonya is standing right there. Sonya grabs her arms. Naomi is like begging her not to. And Sonya pulls her off the apron, eliminating her from the Royal Rumble, dashing our hopes for a save, which pissed me off, but also made me so happy because like Sonya's heel work here was another elevation. Like, I'm okay with it. Like, a lot of people have been complaining, like, well, why does Sonya hate Naomi? There's no background to it. And I'm like, it doesn't matter. Like, it feels weird to me that this is the feud that people are like really like, oh, it doesn't make logical sense, we need more logic. No WWE storylines make logical sense, people. We talk about it every freaking week. So like, this makes more logical sense to me. It's an authority figure who is hating on a black woman. I'm sorry, I get that very loud and clear.
Maybe that's, I know they haven't said that though, Mari.
They haven't said it. No, they haven't, and that's fine. It's implied. It's nuanced. That's the whole fucking point. So like, it's just like, I get it. Like, it's for the girls. You know, you don't get it. Like,
love it, but we love it. If you know,
yes. So I thought this was great. It sucks in contrast what happens with the, like we said, the Kofi save, because that didn't happen. So we didn't get any saves at the Royal Rumble. Like, we got absolutely no saves. All right, but so that was great. It continued on into SmackDown. We'll talk about that later. Matt LaGuardia, what were some of your favorite spots. Oh, I know you said Ivory. Sorry.
That was great.
Oh my gosh. Everybody, my phone blew up
Ring the
when
bell.
Ivory came out, because I am on record on this podcast how much I love Right to Censor, and I died. I was like, yes, please.
I forgot how good she is, how much I love her. And Ivory's energy too, like on so in character, out of character, huge. She hasn't been on WWE TV in nearly 20 years, probably, or something to that effect. At least that's when she left the company, early 2000s or mid 2000s. So I love seeing her. I actually just love anytime we see anyone who you don't expect to see back. And, you know, less to a lesser extent, like Summer Rae was there and we've talked about her, but damn, Ivory, I want Ivory back.
I want she, come on, man. Like, she did a digital exclusive afterwards where she was still in her like Righteous Center. Like, this is all, you know, all these women these days. Like, somebody said, pair her with Lacey Evans. Have her be Lacey Evans' manager when Lacey Evans come back. That is what I want to see, because Lacey Evans had that same type of character, but Lacey Evans is just really bad at straddling the line and actually offended people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like,
Ivory knows how to straddle that line and not be offensive while being offensive. So like, that would be such a fun pairing. I would love for her to manage some of these women. She has so much years in history in wrestling that she could use as a manager. Like, come on, WWE. It's right there. All right, I'm done.
Sorry. Ivory might be busy, but, you know, I will say that I did think about that. It would be nice to see Ivory, and I don't know who that new star would be. I probably wouldn't go to Lacey Evans automatically, but Molly Holly would also be interesting. I don't know. Yeah. I just want Molly Holly in like a nice, like in a pantsuit. It feels right.
I can see it.
It feels like she has standards. We know she has standards from back in the day about how people behave and treat. So put Ivory and Molly there as like the double manager situation. We haven't seen that since like 20 years ago when Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe were they were with. I don't even remember. Vince and Shane and whatever, all of those people, McMahon's. Molly also in here and got her ass kicked by the
I didn't realize Molly had made her way to the Hall of Fame.
About what was that, like 3 or 4 years ago?
Wow.
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there was a year, it wasn't their year, but like the Mari, did the Bella Twins ever get an induction event? Did they get an event for it?
No, not an event. Bella Twins were last year and it was during COVID. So,
okay. Yeah. I think they had to delay it by like a year because of the.
A year or two. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was 2 years ago. Yeah. It was 2020 they got inducted and then they came out last year. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I missed the whole Bella Twins era, honestly. Like, I remember them.
Yeah.
Was it on a Diva Search or was it on just something like that?
It was Raw Diva Search. Yeah.
I remember their introduction, like that they existed. And then when they like took over, like I was not there for that. And then I know that they had like their whole, like the show and then the Cena of it all and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like good to, anytime that they're around that I get to see them competing, I'm like, okay, they're in the Hall of Fame now. I need to know what's going on with them. I need to see something here.
So Matt LaGuardia, what was your favorite moment in the women's wrestling? Is it anything other than Ivory or?
It was probably just, as I said earlier, my favorite, one of my favorites of all time is Lita. So just like the anticipation of waiting for her to come out was fun for me. And like once she's out there, it's like, okay, I mean, I know she's not going to win. So like, please just like let her get out of here as painless as possible. I'm just sitting there the whole time and I'm like, I mean, she's in her full, you know, like the wardrobe that she had going on. I was like, you know, it's Lita, but it's still like, I was like, that's a lot. I was just like, please, like, just don't anybody hurt her too much. I know that they always use these, you know, the legends to come back in and let the new people, you know, kind of like win one over on them. So I was like, please just let's make this as easy and don't let anybody get hurt.
Yeah, and I'll say too, like in terms of her, I was a little worried when I saw her walk out wearing what she was wearing because I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know. Are these jeans flexible enough for that moonsault? Or like what's going to happen? She made it out unscathed. And also I saw a post that, and you could kind of see it, like really if you like, zoom in closely, you could really see it on her knee. But there's like an equality patch of some sort on her knee. It's mm-hmm. kind of a rainbow. I can't tell what else is on it, but that was something that she did intentionally. And I love that because last time, or one of the first time she was in the Rumble, it was the Time's Up shirt, and she had Chyna's name and Luna's name and maybe mm-hmm. Sherry's names on her. So cool stuff. Ended up, and we obviously will talk about her more surprisingly.
Yeah, surprisingly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, I don't know if people really understand, like, because people always say, you know, oh, the old heads are kind of taking spots away from newer people. Like, for the men, I can see you saying that, but for the women, like, this is only the fifth Rumble. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is the fifth one, which for us as fans who have been, you know, seen all five, who've been here for the induction, it doesn't, you know, it seems kind of normal now, but it was... There's like 60 plus years of wrestling history where they didn't have a Rumble. So that's why these women coming back and being able to compete in the Rumble is so much. It feels so good for them because they were never afforded that opportunity when they were active, which takes me to the Melina spot. Uh-oh. when Sasha Banks came out first, which when she came out first, I was like, this is not good. Mostly because Sasha came out first in the first Rumble. She already did the Iron Man of it all. You know what I'm saying? So like, it didn't make sense story wise that if Sasha was going to win the Rumble for her to come out first. And I was like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, that's not good. But Sasha looked amazing. She looked freaking amazing. She looked like Sailor Moon. And like, she was like, if I'm going to be out here first, I'm going to milk the hell out of this.
To be honest, I feel like she looked a little bit more like Sailor Mercury with the blue hair, but that's just me being a technical nerd Sailor Moon growing up. Yeah.
Yes. And then Melina came out second, which again, my mind was blown. I couldn't recognize her music. Like, for some other reason, I could not recognize a lot of people's music in the Rumble this year. Yeah, I couldn't. Mostly also because the camera angles. Did y'all notice the camera angles? When the music would hit, instead of them focusing on the Jumbotron, they focus on the audience to try and get the audience's reaction, which is great and all that. Mm. But also the people at home.
No one needs that. Like, do we need that, we need to see Joe the plumber from
the big pop wherever on, they
we can yeah. comes out. In so, St. Louis. I mean, no, I know how to react to the
exactly. So, but anyways, that was a pet peeve of mine. But Melina comes out and I was just like, oh my God, okay, I need Melina in there long enough so she can see Naomi. I need her in there for.
And by the time you finished that sentence,
she was out. Yeah.
That was really sad. And actually,
it was a botch. Yeah. Ashley, it was accidental.
Ashley in Job has a squad cash out. Ashley asked the question, who was the best surprise entrant and why was it Melina? Ivory was the best surprise entrant, right? But Melina was good, great in theory. Yeah. I think a lot of people freaked out. Great in theory.
Yeah.
Did not get to do any wrestling, which is strange because she still wrestles.
Well, see, so what it was, and she had that moment. Sasha always has those moments with people. She slipped. She slipped. On the first move. Yeah, she slipped. She was supposed to do a whole bunch more from what I understand, but she slipped.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Sasha being Sasha turned it into a memeable moment, by doing her split. Sasha did the splits, had the internet broken and shooketh, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that happened, if you see that first portion of the match, I don't know what was supposed to happen there, but I think they had to improvise because I don't know why Sasha Banks would have been eliminated by Queen Zelina. That doesn't make sense to me personally. I don't know where we would go with that. Unless we're getting a reunion of the Golden Role Models for them to come after the tag belt. So,
maybe.
I feel like we've been talking a lot. Matt LaGuardia, anything?
No, I enjoyed the match. It's like interesting to get more background and context on a lot of these people don't know super great and whatever. Yeah. But I mean, obviously, you know, remember Melina, and then two spots later, Kelly came out.
Yes,
she did. Like to see some of those faces. I wish that they had gotten to last a little bit longer than just another minute each. I was like, what's Michelle McCool doing in the match for 20 minutes, and everybody else has to leave in one?
But, I'm telling you, let's get to the worst things about the match. So yeah. Basically the pacing felt so weird, but like, so yeah, people come in, get immediately dumped out, or they did nothing. Like the ring was never cleared. You know, normally you get that spot where if you have like seven girls in the ring, you have the big name that comes out, clears the ring. Mm-hmm. And by the time Charlotte came out at like 17 and the ring wasn't cleared, I'm like, oh god, they're gonna let Charlotte clear the ring. But she didn't really clear the ring.
Yeah,
so it was really weird to me. Like it felt like there were a lot of spots happening but also not much happening. And then of course, you know, Ronda comes out at 28. Yeah, that was the problem. Ronda comes out at 28. Then Shotzi comes out at 29, completely overshadowed by Ronda. And then freaking Shayna Baszler gets the 30 spot, which sucks because I'm sitting here like, is it going to be Paige? Is it going to be Bayley? No. Is it going to be, saying? Like, is it going to be anybody coming back from injury or anything like that?
That happens. Yes. Every Rumble, when you know the list. So like, if you had the list in front of you, it would be like, oh, of course, Shayna's coming out 30th. But they somehow conveniently forget. Like, why did the announcers act like they don't know who's coming out last?
You gotta have that suspense for that last spot. It's like, like Mari said, like, it could be anybody. You have no idea. And then once it hits, you're either totally disappointed or you're like, oh my God.
Always be a surprise.
I think my only thought process is the only reason she didn't come out 30 was because somebody went from 30 to Charlotte went from 30 a few years ago. I don't know. I just didn't see the point.
You're so lame. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, bring out anybody. Like, you could probably think of like five people who could be good in that spot, even if they didn't potentially have a chance to win. Just like throw them in there. So
like the last final pop. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of the, but I mean, so we knew Shotzi was going to be in there. So 29 was, I mean, if you're looking at the list, you know who's coming. Mm-hmm. They didn't take the opportunity to take that surprise, which kind of goes back to the reports of the both Rumbles, but to the report of the Women's Rumble being referred to as like complete chaos. It's like, if you just sit and think through what this should look like, it could be so much better, but they didn't.
Yeah. Reportedly something was going on with Bianca as well. Like, Bianca was in there for the longest time in the match, her and Liv. But they got Liv got unceremoniously dumped out.
Right.
Bianca at least made this is her third Final Four appearance in three straight Rumbles. Like, that girl good. You know, she got her moments with Charlotte. She got some bad moments with Ronda. Ronda with her bad, sad punches. But she was able to stay in there long enough to get, she got eliminated by Charlotte while she was eliminating. I forget who she was in the middle of eliminating, and Charlotte eliminated her. And then we got Charlotte versus Ronda, which at that point I was like, I don't care. And Ronda dumps out Charlotte and Charlotte wins. I mean, Charlotte wins. Whew, Ronda wins. It was just like the air, like I managed to stay away from spoilers, but there were spoilers that Ronda was supposed to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like the,
but we knew that. We knew that. Yeah, and we also didn't, but what we said, I mean, we didn't want to see it, but also it just didn't seem like it was going to happen because, look, there were even rumors that were as specific as like, oh, Ronda, like Ronda's makeup artist and hairstylist were booked to be in St. Louis for weeks leading up to the show. So
that's that was, find
there was
out.
A lot. Yeah, there's a, so they're like, okay, Ronda's going to be here because her makeup artist and hairstylist.
Yeah.
That was one of the reasons. So it was just kind of like, you know, I mean, we got what we got, but it could have been someone on, there's that sour taste in your mouth when you look at the current roster and realize that like none of them have been booked to win. And like,
exactly.
Who's excited about Ronda winning?
Like you guys were doing the draft, and then I think Matt had tweeted, you know, to me saying like, "Oh, who are your picks to win?" Yeah. And I was like, in my head, I wanted to say like, nobody on either of the cards, like nobody on the graphic is going to end
up. Like, exactly.
I was like, A, it's nobody in the back row. That's how you you know that for sure. And B, it's probably nobody on the graphic. It's probably, you know, whoever else has not yet been announced, because that, you know, creates your most exciting moment there. So I would love to, I would love to know if anyone has the stats out there of like when somebody on the graphic has been the winner and not. It's probably like very heavily weighted in people that are not advertised to be in the match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just very annoying because you're full timers who've been grinding all year, you know, getting people interested. We'll talk more about this later, but like, they're then pushed to the side for Ronda Rousey like to come out and win. Yeah, Matt has, if you're watching on YouTube, Matt has the complete list of Royal Rumble entrants who entered the Royal Rumble for the women. And so I'm not going to read it. There's no point in reading it, but
no, but they, but actually, like, okay, the women's Rumble had a ton of not even surprise. Well, surprise entrance, but also veterans. So you have Melina here, Kelly Kelly.
Alicia Fox came back.
Alicia Fox, nice. Michelle McCool, for 2 seconds, again. Cameron, Ivory, like Summer Rae. Like Sarah Logan.
Oh my God.
Molly. The list goes on. Ronda. List goes on and on. But it's like so many surprise entrants versus the men's Rumble where they didn't really have surprise entrance in it.
So before we get to the men's Rumble, let's stop here for a quick ad break.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby. Mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa. Take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, so for the men's Rumble, I don't know.
You guys seem very excited about the event. It must have gone really well for what we were expecting coming into it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of my favorite.
Well, let me just say that a lot of the coverage of the Royal Rumble has been people saying, "Oh, the Rumble matches sucked," but really, like the women's Rumble wasn't great, but like the men's Rumble really wasn't great.
And
so I just think like it's interesting. Like I don't think that's totally fair to the women in that it wasn't as bad as the men's Rumble.
Yeah. I think just both the winners just kind of really took the air out of the building.
I saw a lot of people saying after the whole Lesnar match that it was like you know, he's about to come out.
It was a done deal.
Yeah, so like that also kind of like alleviates a lot of the you know, excitement towards it, because you're like, all right, there's gonna be that 30 spot or 29-30. Randy Orton comes out at 29, and then you know, who's left? Of course, it's gonna be Brock Lesnar. And like you know, put the money on it; it's gonna happen.
Yeah,
It's like at that point, can
Chappelle
you even, like
put the money on it?
Yeah,
can you even like hope that anything else is gonna happen, because you just know if he's here, it's because he's gonna take the win. Like he's not coming in to get taken out to lose another match of the night. So
right, and me and my husband and his best friend, we were all watching, and we were watching the Lesnar Bobby match, and half of us was like, we kind of just want Lesnar to win just so he won't be in the Rumble. I didn't say that. I was rooting for Bobby, but you know, it's just, but you knew what was going to happen. We talked about it last week. We knew exactly what was going to happen. So
yeah,
it just didn't it just took all the air out. So
not Shane McMahon being in like one of the final four guys in there. It's like, come on, give me something. Oh, give me some kind of suspension.
That's a whole story.
So that's a whole story. So
a story Shane within a story.
So I think I heard something about this.
Yeah, apparently Shane McMahon. Yeah, he produced. I think it was the Men's Rumble. He helped produce it. Uh-huh. Apparently, he originally had it mapped out to feature heavily on himself.
Of course.
Yeah, but then after the event, he was basically let go from WWE. Like, Shane McMahon was fired.
How does that happen? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
I mean, apparently he wasn't. What I understand from all of the different coverage of it is that he wasn't under a contract, like a talent contract or something like that. Mm-hmm. And there were plans for him at WrestleMania, as you could imagine, because he loves to just kind of like pop up and have a random match with someone who should definitely be in a match with someone else.
Right.
And also, I will say, I do hope that it would be nice to get him at WrestleMania, like against Austin Theory. They've had this whole storyline with Vince McMahon, where Vince McMahon has been like, or Austin Theory has been Vince McMahon's adopted son, basically.
Yeah.
But we did get, what's his name? Shane O'Mac in at number 28.
Yeah.
And I don't know who is asking for that.
Not me.
Nope.
I mean, I like Shane, but like, again, it's one of those things. Like, if Shane came back and got an automatic spot at WrestleMania, that would annoy me, because
that'd
again,
be so lame.
Yeah, the women's legends can't do that. They can't come back and get a spot, even though we've been begging for them to run Trish versus Sasha for like eons now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just very, very annoying to me. Do you mind bringing up the list back there, Matt? I will say probably the highlight of Men's Rumble for me was Bad Bunny coming out. I had tweeted before. Sure. Again, I stayed away from spoilers. So I was like, oh my God, I hope Bad Bunny comes out tonight. You know? Because they've been promoting him really heavy. They have been promoting his tour and all of that. I think on the pre-show, for no apparent reason, they talked about the Miz, Bad Bunny, Damian Priest feud. I'm like, we haven't talked about this feud for 8 months. So clearly it felt like they were hinting at it at the very least. So when Bad Bunny came out at 27, I loved it. I love Bad Bunny personally, just because not only is he the biggest global music superstar, like that's not an if, that is like factual numbers, but he is like a huge wrestling fan who stopped what he was doing to train and to really take wrestling seriously. And they had a really cute exclusive of Rey Mysterio giving him his mask after the Royal Rumble. Oh. And he went in there, he did the Bunny Destroyer on Riddle, and it was just amazing. I love Bad Bunny. Now, when Brock Lesnar came out and he was still out there, I was like, please. Like, he took an F5 from Brock Lesnar.
Run! Yeah.
Like,
run!
This guy's committed to everything here, huh?
Yeah, man, it's kind of wild, actually. And, you know, this was part of the drama post, well, with Shane McMahon after the fact. Again, everything's alleged, but what's been reported is that Bad Bunny's spot was moved around a number of times, which is obviously not great, because like everything needs to be so tightly scripted for him to be able to do what he's doing, because he's not like a wrestler. And so I don't know if he was upset about it or what was going on, but that was like the big story in
relation
to Shane
McMahon. They don't want to piss off Bad Bunny. I don't listen to a stitch of Bad Bunny's music, but I love him. I love his wrestling.
There's that one song.
Yeah, the Booker T song. Yes, and I know that, and I respect him as a global artist. So like, I still get upset when I see people like, who is this? WWE is just bringing on trash
that
rappers. Like, no,
he was on SNL like in one day, and then was on WWE the next. I think he might have. I mean, he was the WWE 24/7 champion at the time, like almost a year ago, and on SNL at the same time.
Right.
So he's kind of a big deal.
Matt Liguori, any highlights from the Men's Rumble for you?
I would say I'm a sucker for the really big guy comes in and everybody teams up and has to take him out. Like that spot that's been filled by, you know, the big shows, Kane's, Mark Henry's, anybody that is in that spot. So yeah, I
almost got that spot this year, I think.
Yeah.
Right?
So when he was 11. In there, and you know, it's like this massive person against all everybody else, they all take a moment. Like, I don't know why that moment always works for me, but it does. And then, what was it? Dominic Mysterio came in to be like the final one that was able to get him out of the ring. So, because obviously like the big guy is never going to win. Otherwise it'd be too obvious, too easy if we were looking at it from a realistic perspective. So, Kali, I'm sure, has been in that moment before, but that's always one of my highlights.
It does kind of throw me off though when I think about it. You know, Kali, I'm
Beth
sure
Phoenix kiss, right?
Yeah, there was the one time that Beth Phoenix single-handedly eliminated him. But other than that, it's like, it always takes like 20,000 people to. And like the thing is, these people are so tall that, you know, all you would think you just need to push,
push really hard from the top.
Yeah, it's just not. I don't know. As a tall person, it's easy for me to fall over things, and I wouldn't want to be in the Rumble because it seems like it might be easier to be eliminated.
Just to do the old three kind of
like, you want to be like a 5 foot 400-pound type, you know, like Otis.
He has no chance. Like, you get him out of the ring, and, you know, they do the whole feet dangling over the floor thing. Like, he has no chance.
They can't.
That is,
yeah. they're out the floor.
I mean, not happening. His knees are at the floor by that point.
Yeah,
I mean, any highlights for you, Matt? I mean, I guess we kind of talked about the bad parts about the men's, but any...
No, I mean, really the bad... Maybe my low light... Ooh... It's so sad even seeing a picture of it.
I know,
emotion.
Kofi. I know.
Kofi attempting that. Jump. Oh, that I don't know what cringy. He was thinking, though, honestly, from like multiple perspectives. Like going from the top rope to the barricade and trying to land and catch himself on his ribs, chest. What is that? What are you doing, bro? Like, it doesn't sound like that's a good landing for you either way. So I didn't like that. That was my low.
I was
low
so point.
How many times do you
him?
Think you rehearsed that just for it to not seemingly go the way?
I mean, he probably, I was going to say not enough to be shady, but I'm sure he like really did rehearse it. And, you know, like if he came back in, I wonder if we would have seen more of him with Big E. But
Big E was unceremoniously dumped out.
Yeah, he
too.
Just like disappeared at some point. I don't even remember.
Yeah, I don't think they even caught it, which is crazy. It's wild. No. So yeah, because that was about to be mine. I was going to say the low point was Kofi, but Kofi did do like a really nice tweet saying, if you don't try, you know, you fail, all that good stuff.
Oh, that
stuff.
Was really nice.
And he really put it in perspective. Like, we've been taking these saves for granted, to be quite honest. He's been doing this for like 10 plus years. And this is one of the first times in memory that he's ever, like, it's never not worked. So it kind of does make you appreciate all those other saves like even more.
That all worked over the last 15 years.
Yeah.
But I think you know what? I don't have another high point of the match. So maybe that's my low point and my high point for that reason. Because then there's more intrigue. Like, ooh, can Naomi do this without falling out? Can Kofi do this again without fall, you know, actually eliminating himself? Casey Catanzaro, who's still in NXT, had a
She'll
moment a couple years
out.
Ago,
yeah,
but still was able to do kind of a fun spot to get back in. So we'll see, but it does make you appreciate it. I think that's a good point. And I remember seeing that, I think it was like an Instagram post where he had like a long message about just trying. Damn, inspiration.
Exactly.
That man needs to be a motivational speaker.
He does. Honestly, what's the point? You knew Brock was about to come out anyway, so
right.
At number 32, you see Brock come out, and it's like, well, we've seen him come out, and like in 2020, he eliminated half of the roster. I think 13 people or something like that. Mm-hmm. So, at number 30, I think he's the guaranteed win.
When I get to that point in the Rumble, I'm just like, you know that it's going to, are we going past midnight? Are we going to 1 a.m.? Like, when is this going to be over? So you're like, all right, let's just speed through these last couple of, whatever's happening. Wrap it up.
Any final thoughts on the men's Rumble before we move on to some of the Rumble fallout?
No.
On
the men's Rumble?
I mean, on the men's Rumble, because that's what we were talking about.
Matt, do you have any other thoughts?
No, I mean, this is the Men's Rumble is where I first, as I messaged you both about, the first time that I really think I saw Matt Riddle, and, I was very alone watching him storm around the ring, cause I apparently his thing is not to wear shoes. So, I was alarmed by that. And then he was on, Raw maybe the next night. And I was like, okay, so this is this guy's thing. I don't like it. It's kind of gross, but you do you.
You can't feel bad for him if he ever like loses a toe or something.
It's like, so, I'm like, there are people stomping all around this ring. Like, it's dangerous out there, and it's disgusting. They're all sweating all over the place, and you're stomping. You're still.
And the funny thing is, Edmo from the Job Hazard Squad cast group said there was a rumor that Riddle was planned to win the Rumble. What are our thoughts on this?
So what does that mean? Like, if they changed their mind last minute that Brock was going to stay, you know, retain the title, and then all of a sudden they needed a contender to actually win it, maybe Riddle versus Orton in like the last couple minutes of the Rumble match, and then Riddle, I would be surprised. And then I don't even know Riddle.
I guess that's what people are saying, but like I couldn't see it, and the answer to that would be no. No,
I feel like, you know, when they plan these things out, they must have like a bunch of different, you know, possible. It's like, okay, here's like four different ways the Rumble could end. Maybe that was one of them. And obviously, it's probably like four or four.
Right.
four.
But it's like an idea. Like, it's an idea. Yeah. But also, it's kind of Fightful. John Ross Sapp also kind of, in their brilliant coverage, also kind of debunked this and said, like, no, it's been Brock for the longest while. Like, they plan on Brock for the longest while.
Probably since it Roman originally had to step out for when he got COVID,
maybe even before.
I'm sure Shane was supposed to win in his version that he wrote, and then
he was
caught up at the last second.
In the future, we have to make some predictions. It's like, if this person wins, I'm gonna eat this chapstick right here.
No, we've done that before.
I thought it was completely original. I don't
know. We don't want that.
So we on Monday night we got Bobby Lashley coming out, and basically it was Adam Pearce telling him like he has to defend his title in the Elimination Chamber. We talked about it, but the Elimination Chamber is being held in Saudi Arabia this year, on February 19th. It's like in 2 weeks. Yo, it's in 2 weeks. Wow. He has to defend it in the Elimination Chamber, which to me, I don't like it.
Not fair. Too many people.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Like,
I'd much rather it be a number one contender match.
Yeah, but I like it. It's hard. Yeah, it is kind of hard to sell. And I will say, I think that the other piece of this for me is just that let's assume he's going to lose the championship to Brock Lesnar.
But why? He just got it.
That's why I don't.
Brock need it back. Like, two questions for you guys. When did Bobby Lashley get back to the WWE? When I was out, he was not here for a while. Has he been back for a while or?
Yeah, he's been back for a few years, but when did he get to this level?
Yeah, to be like back on top.
The past 2 years, like last year. Yeah,
it was really a year ago.
A year ago.
I would say like a year ago.
This time.
And then Elimination Chamber, he had a moment. And then right after that. So, Mark,
right before,
I was thinking of this.
You're right.
At Elimination Chamber, did he, like, he helped The Miz win the champ? Maybe, you know what?
Has he had any championship belts since?
Yes,
then?
He has. Yeah. Okay. So last year he had a great showing during the Rumble. He was all good. He helped The Miz take the belt off of Drew McIntyre, and then he pinned The Miz belt from Miz right before Mania. So then Drew McIntyre and Bobby fought at last year's WrestleMania. And Bobby Lashley actually beat Drew McIntyre. And so he was champion from WrestleMania until Big E won it in after September. SummerSlam. At SummerSlam. Okay. So he's been a champion. He's been a really good champion. And then it transitioned to Big E. And then,
Surprisingly, I mean, maybe surprisingly to some, great on the mic. Like, MVP is with him and cuts a lot of the promos, but like Bobby Lashley also had a lot of mic time, a lot of really intense. He sweats a lot at convenient times, which is really nice and works. But I think they're gonna disrespect him in this Elimination Chamber. And we can talk more about this segment, but We already have the WWE Championship Elimination Chamber match and the competitors confirmed.
Yeah, because once Adam Pearce announced it, Brock Lesnar came out and demanded to be in it. Brock Lesnar basically said, I'm going to take the championship and it's going to be me versus Roman at WrestleMania title for title. And that was the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Like, I hate title for title matches, especially at WrestleMania, because that just takes away a title from another storyline.
Right.
Also, people are talking about unification. I'm like, no, we do not need unification at all. And I don't think, I can't feasibly think how we would get unification when, you know, Fox still owns SmackDown and USA still owns Raw. Like, I can't imagine the networks being like, yeah, only have one champion and I guess let them float. I don't know, but I really hope that's not the road we're going down. But it was very scary for Brock to say that. And I'm like, please don't do it. Like, just please don't do it. Just let Bobby keep the championship.
I hate Brock's hair.
Yeah, it's not cute. So throughout the rest of the night, Seth Rollins
it's very cute.
It's cute. Throughout the rest of the night, some people had to fight their way into the Elimination Chamber, while some people just were like in it, like Seth Rollins. But Austin Theory's in there, Seth Rollins, AJ Styles. We just saw it, the graphic. So I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this match. I don't truly care.
I'm really hoping, though, Mari, that we get, like, I don't know, that somehow Bobby keeps the championship. I don't know what he would do at Mania, but let's hope. It could happen.
Elimination Chamber still, like, they come out like one at a time, right? Nothing's changed since that. So I feel like Lesnar's going to be like the last one out, the most fresh, you know, as they, you know, maybe Lashley's like second or third or something like that. So it's like he's been worn down, and that would give, you know, Lesnar an opportunity to come in fresh and get the kill.
Well, some people are thinking if Riddle was the one who was supposed to be in the Rumble, that maybe he could take it off of Bobby here in some way, shape, or form.
But that'd be disrespectful.
This guy's out here like playing like quiz competitions in the middle. Like, yeah, why is that your face?
Selling bees.
I'm trying to figure it out. But so another, another thing could be that Bobby takes the belt off of Lashley, and then Roman.
Bobby
takes it off Lashley. Brock takes it off Lashley. My bad. Brock takes it off Lashley, and then Roman got challenged to a match by Goldberg at Elimination Chamber, and then maybe Brock costs Roman his championship, so that when it's at WrestleMania, Brock will have the WWE Championship, and Roman won't have a belt anymore, and that maybe it's like that.
Wow. Which, that's actually
a pretty big deal about this streak. Like, it's got to, I mean, we know it'll end at some point.
Yeah, it has to end.
This consecutive, you know, what is he on, 500 something days. So, it has to end eventually. So I would like that, what you just said. That would sound compelling enough to.
See, I would like that if it wasn't Goldberg. Like, I don't want Goldberg. Exactly.
Where did he come from? Sorry to ask you a million questions, but has he been? I know he came back, you know, a couple years ago, but
and he likes to pop
this spot
up
here. Surprise!
He pops up a few times a year.
Just pops up before Saudi shows to get paid Saudi money. Like, that is literally
very willing to just give it to him. I see. So
So annoying.
Why do we need this old man still marching around here? Like, what are we doing?
I mean, to be fair, I'm not going to call him an old man. He could.
I mean, I have no disrespect against Goldberg, even though that kind of was. But I don't know. He's a legend in his own right. But I'm just like, I was not sitting there being like, oh my God, Goldberg's back. Like, okay, cool.
Look, shows up with his dad bod and doing the dad things. And honestly,
literally, the only reason I could even remotely think about that being okay is if Goldberg gets the belt, Roman and Brock maneuver to a match for the WWE Championship, and then Big E gets Goldberg at Mania. That would be the only acceptable route. And if it's not that, because that seems very much too logical, so I don't think it's going to be that, I don't want it. You know what I'm saying? Like that Goldberg's been popping up year to year. He only pops up for the Saudi shows because they give him buku money. But like Big E has been talking about for years now how Goldberg is his dream match. Okay. And Big E was just the WWE champion. He just lost it at day one on January 1st. Mm-hmm. but he was a WWE champion from October to like January or September to January. And he was on a really good run. And then all of this, it felt like all this stuff got switched with Brock coming back and Roman. So, and then he wasn't even featured in a lot of the Royal Rumble stuff when he was a favorite to win it, not 2 months prior. So like, it's a lot of stuff. And then on SmackDown this week, he was tagging with Kofi. So we don't know.
How did he end up on SmackDown?
I literally don't know. Like, the week before, they made sure to say Big E and Kofi Kingston. Like, they made sure not to say the New Day because Xavier Woods is still part of the New Day, but Xavier Woods is out. So I don't know what they're doing with him. And it's very sad because he's very over, you know what I'm saying? And that seems to be the theme of this week. It's like, oh, you're over. Oh, the crowd is invested in your storyline. We don't care because we just brought in these people to, you know, pop ratings or whatever. So, I don't know. I don't know. And maybe this was very convoluted, but this is the two storylines. This is the fallout. We got Brock still coming at Lashley's title, but then we also got Roman. We got Paul Heyman explaining why he turned on Brock, which was just so well done because it's freaking Paul Heyman.
I can't stand that, man. I'm sorry.
In a
you're
good
supposed
way
to hate
him,
so I do.
Okay, I'm like,
yeah. Okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, but no, Paul Heyman, you're supposed to hate that guy. I just,
kind of Weasley.
I hate, like, and it's like the same like thing that he's been doing since we were kids, like I'm just like being this annoying like guy like spitting into the microphone. I'm like, it never made, like, I never liked it. And like, I like plenty of the villainous people on you know, in the WWE, but Paul Heyman does not give me I don't like him.
Yeah, so well, there's my take. That's the beauty of Paul Heyman, that like, it perfect, like I could, like you couldn't picture anyone else in that role.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fine if it wasn't him.
And the funny thing too, is that I remember, like, he's been fired from WWE a couple of times.
So many times
for different things, like, and just not being the best to work with at, when I think he led creative teams. There was the WWE's version of ECW, like 15 plus years ago, I guess, at this point. So, hey, maybe part of it's kind of a shoot, you know, but, good at what he does. He's good at some of what he does.
I mean, I can't say he's not, but I just, it's not my favorite.
And
probably loved knowing it, right?
So we basically, from our champions, we just got pivots to Elimination Chambers. So it was, it was okay. It was whatever for that, for Brock and Goldberg. So, so like we said, Brock, Lashley, and them are all going to be in Elimination Chamber for the WWE Championship. Roman will be facing Goldberg for the Universal Championship. And now we got to go to the women. So Ronda goes to Raw to tease who she wants to pick for Mania. This was the...
Okay, wait. I just want to say this was maybe convoluted is the word of the week, because I wasn't watching this live in real time. And so I heard what happened, it caught me off guard so much. Like, what? Ronda Rousey. Okay, the Ronda Rousey Becky thing made sense. Mm-hmm. And then the show ends with Lita. What year is it? I'm not.
They
knew
I was going to be here, and they decided to give me a worthwhile ending to
no, same. I mean, last week we were talking about dream matches, and I said, "Oh yeah, like Lita would be my person for a dream, like a dream match, or my number one when Mari quiz me rapid fire." And I didn't know that we'd get it. I feel like it's flying too close to the sun, right, Matt?
Is it just like she's been training lately and she was like, get me in now while I'm feeling good. Like, get me in a couple matches while I can do it.
Yeah,
there were rumors about her being in AEW, and there were conversations about her joining last year to have a match with Britt Baker, who is still their women's champion. And she showed up here, and not only showed up in the Rumble, but freaking doing matches and things, other matches.
Queen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wants one more run. She wants one more like in-ring run here. So
one more, we and then knew she more 2 years later, 3 years later, she'll be back. Yeah.
We knew that back. She was going to get another run. We just didn't realize it was going to be like kind of a one-off here with Becky and Saudi Arabia. So it, because she hasn't done it before, this doesn't it feel? I mean, she's going to get that Saudi money, of course. But like, it doesn't feel. Yeah, it doesn't feel as shoehorned as Goldberg always does.
Yeah.
Three times a year for the past 3 years, just being like, oh, I'm here. Give me that money.
Yeah. So, yeah. She wasn't coming. I don't think she was. Well, it sounds like. Right. Right. Yes. Right.
She's coming for the wrestling.
Especially for Saudi money. Like, I think a lot of people might want to pass on that paycheck for a variety of reasons.
The promo by Ronda was just so bad. Like, it. Oh, I'm so
annoyed.
What
did she say?
I don't know, because she kept like it was the awkward pauses. It was the like
there were some logical like fallacies in there. Yeah. You know, like when you're like, I'm gonna not challenge you. I'm not gonna. Oh, I love this picture of Rhonda, which you can watch if you're not already watching us on YouTube. Just like, you know, you're a minute 30 and it's never too late. Skip over, watch Rhonda looking very perplexed, which is a lot of how her promo came across. So her logic is, I might not challenge Becky because she's my undercard, because I'm
the main
event. She tried something. Someone wrote it.
So did Charlotte steal her words on SmackDown then? Like,
yeah, she was kind of like mocking what she said there, right?
Yes, there she was. Yeah, exactly. It was, because number one isn't worried about number two. It was weird. It was weird. It was stilted. It was stunted. It was like, was Charlotte trying to show her how you're supposed to like deliver a promo? But we'll get to Charlotte's promo.
To be fair, Rhonda was trying to memorize a promo and deliver it. So, I mean, let's give them the benefit of the doubt that this was.
No, never.
No, not Rhonda. WWE creative, though. Like, maybe the writing made more sense than the delivery. Oh, I'm sure the writing made more sense than the delivery.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to give nobody the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to see Rhonda at WrestleMania. I don't care. I'm going to stay here. I don't care about her wrestling. I was glad when she was gone for like 3 years. I don't care. I get some people like her. They want to see her. Okay, that's for you. That's not for me. I understand that.
She seems to be pretty popular with the crowd. I mean, I feel like she got a lot of cheers.
Well, so what I heard, what I understand about that, and I have to go back and watch the segment.
Really
WWE,
watched it,
especially over the pandemic. Well, over the pandemic, like shamelessly, they were piping in crowd noise. But then after it ended, they were still piping in crowd noise. And like, it still seems like they're doing that, because when you look at the crowd and you don't see anyone reacting or excited, or like their arms are crossed and they are over it, and yet it's like a loud reaction, but no one's cheering.
Like, they fall for it. I'm like, oh,
that was happening. That was happening during this segment, where it's like, wait, why is nobody's cheering? And yet I hear people.
And then the cheers were in weird spots. Like, again, it was in very weird spots. Like, she was still talking and then a cheer. And then when she would pause, nobody was saying anything. It was
dead. It was silent. Yeah.
Yeah. So Becky mercifully came out to like save her. And and then, you know, Rhonda, of course, then tries to like put her in the lock or whatever. But Becky escapes or whatnot.
Do we like Becky?
Got Lita. I mean, we like Becky, but Becky's a heel, so we don't like Becky.
Oh, yeah. I'm not like super familiar with her, but I liked her in what I got to see of her over the past couple.
Becky Lynch is like the truth. She's the man. She is like the top woman right now. So like she's the top woman in the company. Sure.
She was dressed like a mosaic of
something. Yeah, it was very interesting. Very obnoxious heel.
Allison in Wonderland.
Here. But she basically told, didn't she basically tell Rhonda like she didn't need to face her because she had already beaten her basically or something to that effect? Yeah. Like, it was something like that.
She came through with the logic where she's like, I'm the only one who's beaten you and I've basically been champion for 3 years. So
exactly.
So, it's like, that doesn't make sense.
Like, you're scared of me or something like that. I don't know. But like, It was just rough. It was so rough. But then we pivoted to Lita. So Lita, it's now Lita versus Becky at Elimination Chamber. So sure, whatever. But I'm just kind of pissed because we've been getting this Becky and Bianca storyline since, you know, last SummerSlam. And so I'm still giving them the benefit of the doubt with Bianca. It's a good thing that Bianca is not at the Elimination Chamber match. Mm-hmm. It's filler. It's pretty much right. Filler. So we're still hoping that Bianca is at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And the reason why we're still hoping that is because we got to pivot to SmackDown, because on SmackDown, Ronda comes back out. She told Becky she wasn't going to make the pick then and there. Becky kind of told her like, all right, hurry up. Just tell me. I know you're going to pick me or something to that effect. So tell me now.
She said she would announce on SmackDown. I think she explicitly said that. Yeah, which is like, why would you announce that you're going to face Becky on SmackDown? That doesn't make sense. So maybe that's kind of a spoiler.
Exactly. So then Ronda goes to SmackDown. Now this...
Uh-oh. Are you okay?
This segment... No, I'm about to like lose my shit, guys.
Do it.
This segment was like the worst, most convoluted segment. It's like, how can we announce Ronda picking Charlotte in the worst way possible? Because like Matt Scott just pointed out, if she's going to SmackDown, more likely she's going to be picking Charlotte.
It's once really she weird won, if she was like, hi, Charlotte. I just wanted to say hi, but I'm actually going to face off against Becky Lynch, who I saw, you know, like 5 days ago. Thanks for the invitation to come to meet up with you.
Exactly. So we're all expecting her to pick Charlotte. They also gave them that last moment in the Rumble together. And like I even said last week, the original plans when Ronda was rumored 4 years ago, 5 years ago, was Charlotte versus Ronda. So it just makes sense that this is what we're going to get. So we get this storyline where Sonya Deville is out there with Charlotte. Sonya Deville says, oh, Becky told me that Ronda picked her. So, you know, she wants a contract signed on Monday. Becky is insistent that Ronda is going to choose her. So this is problem number one of this segment, because first off, Becky, we kind of talked about this last week, but Becky's kind of gone not on record, but she's been in interviews where you can tell that she wants to finish the Bianca feud. You know what I'm saying? She doesn't seem to be too keen on facing Ronda. And it seems like Becky is sticking to that, because she technically has not, I mean, take what that promo on Raw is for what you will. It doesn't seem like she really wants to face Ronda. And maybe they're using that for character purposes or whatever, but it just doesn't feel like she wants to face her. So for Sonya Deville to kind of try and put words into Becky's mouth and be like, you know, oh, Becky really wants to face Ronda, it kind of, to me, is disrespectful to Bianca. So that is one Black woman that we have disrespected in this segment.
Follow the through line. I didn't know that this was where this was going.
Follow the through line here for me.
Okay.
So we then get Charlotte in her promo, like Sonya says, okay, if Becky gets to pick, if Ronda picks Becky, like Becky said, because we're taking Becky's word from it, not Ronda's, Charlotte, you get to pick your opponent. So who do you want to pick as your opponent? Like, what? So we don't even get an Elimination Chamber for the women's like number one contenders for Charlotte's title or anything like that. Okay, cool, whatever, kayfabe. And then Charlotte says, who do you want me to pick, audience? Who do you want me to pick? And before she says Sasha Banks, which I'm like, nope, I'm not falling for this. So Charlotte says she's gonna pick Sasha, you know, gets people hyped. Mm-hmm. Ronda comes out, you know, Ronda comes out, and then Ronda, of course, says, no, I'm picking you, Charlotte. So, okay, Sasha Banks has been disrespected here, because you tease Sasha Banks and we're not getting Sasha Banks. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Why are we doing this?
And why wasn't Sasha ready with her theme? Like, everyone ready with her theme music, gonna do her little dance on
Sasha
the stage.
Sasha wasn't there. Yeah.
Oh.
They said Sasha wasn't there. But then we also, before this segment, Naomi, looking gorgeous, you know, came up to Sonya Deville wanting a match with Sonya Deville. And then Sonya was like, no, next week you have a match with Charlotte for the title. So they talk about that in the middle of this ring, but they're already they're not even paying attention to Naomi's match next week for the title, because we all know
it's
going to be Charlotte versus Ronda at WrestleMania. Then Naomi is not going to win next week. So black woman number three, you have disrespected in one segment. I don't care. I'm calling it out. This was my perception of this promo. But it was just so stupid to me. I just don't understand what was the point of teasing Sasha and you're going with Charlotte and Ronda unless Sasha's going to be in a triple threat with them at WrestleMania. And no, ma'am, you can keep that. Keep that.
Didn't they do that almost basically?
They did it that exactly.
Becky and Charlotte and
Ronda. So I don't.
And then they had Charlotte and what was the other? Did they have a triple threat?
Yeah, Charlotte. Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky. Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure I didn't make that.
Yeah. So it's like nobody wants a triple threat. So why are you bringing up Sasha's name? Yes, Matt.
What's next for Bianca? Because I also, these new generations of the women's wrestlers, like I don't know them all too well, but I saw Bianca in the Rumble last year, and that's the one she won, right? Very impressive there. And I just, anytime she's on screen, I'm a big fan of her so far. But what's next for her if she's not involved in any of these?
Well, apparently she'll be taking on Becky at Mania. That would make a lot of sense because Bianca did. She main evented WrestleMania last year with Sasha Banks, won her championship, then had a really great run until SummerSlam when Becky Lynch beat her in 26 seconds, which I'm not bitter about, but I kind of am. And so we're going to see that. I guess for me, it's more of a question of what's Bianca doing for the next 3 to 4 weeks before Elimination Chamber, because maybe there's a world where it's a multi-person match at Mania for the Raw women, but that wouldn't be great.
People are saying maybe Bianca, Becky, and Liv, but then there's
Lita now in the conversation. So will Lita be at WrestleMania too? Like
maybe like last minute before Elimination Chamber or something happens and Lita is like unable to compete. Like,
what I would love is if Lita and Becky are at Elimination Chamber, Bayley comes out and costs Lita the match so that we get a setup for Lita versus Bayley. So that's what I would love to see. That's how I would book it, but
leave Lita alone. I want Lita to win the championship and to take on Bianca Belair at WrestleMania.
I don't want her to win the championship because they're going to embarrass her on the way out where she gets to take it over.
Yeah, just like you know what? That might be part of the reason why I get so nervous when I see her on, because I'm just like, either she's going to do a moonsault and it's a lot, or they're going to have crime time.
I just thought of her neck.
Horrible.
Her neck.
Yeah, I know. I know. Her neck's probably stronger than most people's, though. I'm assuming there's like a metal rod in there for the last 20 years.
Yeah, so that's what I would love. I would love for a Bayley Lita legend match at WrestleMania.
I will say this, that I think everyone gets what's going on. Like Becky has opponent. She faced Liv. She faced Doudrop at the Royal Rumble. She's facing Lita now. So I don't think people think that Bianca's being like pushed out of the conversation. Yeah. And that's nice, you know? And so,
yeah.
I mean, we're getting kind of like a few years ago, we had Charlotte versus Trish Stratus at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is kind of a parallel to that to a different extent.
I gotta find that match.
Yeah.
No, you don't. it has to be Bianca at this point, because it just doesn't make any sense if it would be anybody else. But I'd like to see it, and she's still so over. Like that pop at the Rumble she got, she gets pops every night. They have to find excuses to put her on Raw. Like this week on Raw, she faced Carmella. Jesus. She faced Carmella this week on Raw, I think it was. So she's one of those people, like, they're putting her out there even if she does not have a storyline. That's just really good forbid, you know, that makes you know that they love her,
yeah,
and that they want her to stay on top of mind. So that's what I'm thinking we're going to get. I would love that. And it's sad because we knew that once Rhonda came back, it was either or. It was either going to be Bianca gets her spot versus Becky, or Sasha would get her spot versus Charlotte, because that's what they were kind of building before those. And so when Rhonda comes back, it was just kind of like, it was like, it was either or. And so for me, I was just like, just let Rhonda take on Charlotte so I don't have to watch night one of Mania, and like, just let Sasha go breathe somewhere and let Bianca continue on her upswing, honestly, because it just sucks, because they had been, you know, they were the ones who really carried last year on their backs. And now it's just like they're fighting for their spots in the title matches. So
yeah, that is the unfortunate part about all mm-hmm. of this, is that Rhonda comes in and everyone, I mean, and it makes sense from a business perspective. I get right. it. But like, Rhonda comes in and you're not going to say no to Rhonda, you know. And I heard another, like, or saw a tweet or something, or maybe we have a couple tweets like this that were like, well, if John Cena came back now and said, hey, I'm ready to return, like, they're not going to say, okay, John, just wait. They're going to have him there, because, or The Rock, they're going to have him there when they have the chance. And so I get that with Rhonda, but, you know, we could still be annoyed. Right. I think a lot of fans are going to be annoyed, but hey, we probably all knew that would happen when Rhonda returned out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. Matt Liguori, any final thoughts on this week in wrestling, for like all the stuff we talked about, the Rumble fallout, any of that?
No, I mean, I enjoyed myself. I usually watch the Rumble and probably not watch Raw and SmackDown. I might, you know, mm-hmm. poke my head in like somewhere online to see what happened. And I probably will end up watching Mania. I feel like I do whenever I remember. But now it's like a 300 night event, you know, every weekend of Mania. So it's hard to keep up with it all. But
it's actually, I know it does seem weird that it's two nights, but the two night format for me has been really great. I mean, it
sounds necessary at a certain
point. Yeah.
Obviously, like,
instead of the 8 hours in a day.
Everything's continuing to grow, like the Rumble at a certain point. Like, you could almost see it going two nights, because like, it's just the length of all the matches and stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't think it needs to be, but just I enjoyed my time catching back up and, you know, dipping my toes back into this world. And no further thoughts.
All right, we'll take another quick ad break, and we'll just dip into a few more other topics before we say bye to Matt Liguori. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're running too long to really jump into NXT, but I did want to answer Derek's. Derek left us a question. He said, has NXT did like a full episode storyline like they did with Mandy and KLR? I loved it. Would like to see more of that. What are your thoughts on a story that plays out in segments all throughout the episode? And also, is this the first time that we've seen them do it with the women as an all episode long story? So what Derek is referring to on NXT this week, we got multiple segments from Kaylee Ray, also known as KLR, basically like, strong arming Mandy into giving her a title match.
That is terrifying.
With a bat.
Get out of here.
With a bat. Yeah. At Vengeance Day. NXT's Vengeance Day is in like 2 weeks or something like that. So Toxic Attraction will be taking on Persia Parada and Indy Hartwell, which I'm so confused, because I'm like, isn't there a Dusty Rhodes Classic coming up right now? Like,
yeah,
it's right. It's happening. So I thought the winner is supposed to like face them, but whatever. Whatever. But KLR with her really cool green bat, we talked about it a little bit, I think a few weeks ago, about how KLR is like, I love how they're presenting her. She seems like such a badass. She's coming right for Mandy, who is like their antithesis of each other, like they're complete total mm-hmm. opposites. But yeah, this segment long thing, to answer Derek's question, the last time I can really remember seeing this is when we were just talking about how The Miz lost his championship to Bobby Lashley on that episode of Monday Night Raw, where they did three separate segments in each hour, where Miz kept trying to get out of, you know, facing Bobby for the WWE title till they finally got to the main event and Bobby took it off of him. Like, I love those type of segments. I feel like NXT does it way more than the main roster does. Because I'm thinking back to like Tony D'Angelo and the car, you know, with Nash Legend and all that. Carmelo Hayes has had multiple segments throughout an episode. This might be the first time for the women, but I feel like it's not. Like, it was so, I feel like with NXT 2.0 stuff like this, the multiple segment stuff is so common that I didn't even notice that it, you know, it didn't, in a good way. I didn't notice that it was something that we may not see too often. So I'm loving what they're doing with KLR and Mandy personally.
And she has that bat. Like, that's the thing.
So scary.
But it's scary too, because I mean, it is kind of corny to me a little bit how they'll have her chasing down Mandy or Toxic Attraction like with the bat, and then she goes to swing it and you're like, okay, Mandy's standing in front of the steps. Kaylee Ray, she ducks out of the way and then hits the steps and makes loud noise and hits the ring post and makes loud noise. I don't want to see anyone get hit with that like legit accidentally. It could happen.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, back in the day, like the ECW days, like I would have nightmares as a child, like seeing people swing around bats with like barbed wire attached to them. Cause like as a kid, like maybe, you know, it's like, you know, fake, whatever. It's a, but like, it's scary. And this bat, like bringing up those memories. I was like,
oh my gosh. Yeah. You don't want to get hit in the face with that. Anything could happen in the WWE.
Yes. Matt, I know you don't watch NXT 2.0. So what were some of your thoughts when you saw this? I know you had to been like, what is happening right now?
Yeah. I mean, I get the idea of NXT, because also NXT was kind of like becoming a thing as I was, you know, fading away. Just like, I never would pay attention to this, to like, I don't want to call them like the lower tier. I mean, that's what
developmental.
Right. That's the nicer way to say it. I never like paid too much attention to them. Only like when somebody would make the jump over to the WWE, you'd start to pay attention. But it is fun to kind of peek in there and see what's going on and see some of these people developing, as, you know, you may see them as big stars one day, depending on how things go for them. So it does feel a lot more forced, I guess you could say, like some of these people that are really telling you like what their storyline is and who they are and where they're from and why they're going to fight this person or whatever. Even like what is that, Mandy in the purple? That's she's like a very, very caricature of you know, the character that she's trying to go for, like standing there like showing off like look at me, this is why I'm so good, like because everyone wants to be with me or whatever. It's like a little bit farther than I feel like they tend to like push. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. It was definitely interesting to check out.
Yeah, NXT 2.0 is heavy on the characters, like heavy.
Yeah, and with Mandy Rose especially, Matt, because you referenced like being a Lita fan and you know, women's wrestling, is that they're definitely with Mandy going back to the well of like, yeah, men want to be with me.
I know.
Women want to be like me. And like, they lay it on, they're laying it on so thick with that. So it is interesting in today's day and age.
Good thing she's the heel, you know, she's the heel and she's pushing those things. So that's at least the better thing of it.
Progress, right?
Yeah, progress. Yeah.
Wow, that's so real.
NXT 2.0, they're doing great over there. And we just wanted to spotlight that because we had a question. We won't go into the shoot today. I'll just say, because I feel like I've been ranting and raving all episode. I didn't remember how I said, oh, I'm glad we didn't do the Rumble thing right after the Rumble, because I was so mad. And then I got mad again.
funny how that works,
right? But I will say, you know, hashtag free Ali, and free maybe we'll
Ali,
free, yeah, we'll elaborate on that later.
We will Ali. Elaborate on it, but I have to pull up the visual of him, just because, so they know that we weren't talking about Muhammad Ali or Layla Ali. Mustafa Ali, who is not granted his release yet. I feel like this will be an ongoing thing for us, like probably talking about this. We might need a special graphic from Tricky at RHAP to be like, here's the Ali tracker of if they've granted him his release yet, because he asked.
I will definitely go in, because like I said, I wanted to give WWE the benefit of the doubt of seeing if they would do something with him at the Rumble, but he said he did not want to be in the Rumble.
The two sides are free.
Yeah, the two sides have not come to any type of agreement. So now I feel like I can eviscerate the WWE. But we're not going to do it right now because we want to keep it short. So yeah. before we say bye to Matt LaGore, if any of you guys have Matt Scott did a great introduction. He is a he's on the Challenge podcast or the Dom and Colin podcast. Yeah, so just like we did when we had Scott Yeager on, we wanted to ask him, who did he think from the challenge world would be a great WWE wrestler? And then we want to have him pick a match or two against what challenger against a current WWE star. So Matt LaGore, first and foremost, what man from the challenge do you think could really like step foot in WWE and do some good damage?
I mean, my mind went straight to CT just because of his dominance lately.
Yeah.
So, that's an obvious pick of somebody that you would fear kind of thing. But then I took a step back out of somebody who has not been around in a couple seasons, and who knows when we'll see them again, if at all. I would love to see Turbo make his way to the WWE. Yes. I feel like that would be a lot of fun.
Turbo. And he could
put him against anyone. I have no, I feel like. maybe one of the smaller guys, maybe not the top names to get his foot in the door, because he would probably come in as a heel. I mean, we like him a lot on the challenge, but I feel like he could play a heel pretty well.
Turbo.
Get him in there against a Seth Rollins or something like that, just to
Turbo versus Seth Rollins. Yes.
Wow.
Turbo, remember when he did all of the the kicks when he won?
He's already got a start.
He won War of the Worlds, right? The original War of the World. Uh-huh. Yes. And he was so excited. He was doing kicks. He's like a Turkish, we were calling him the Turkish Superman, I think it was, right? He's from Turkey, right? Is it Turkey?
Yes.
Okay. he could do everything on the challenge. That's such a great, great pick. Oh my gosh.
Would love to see him. More entertaining kind of.
Oof. Yes. I love it. CT also a great pick. I wrote down in my notes as we were talking about Goldberg, I would like to see CT versus Goldberg, Dad Bod versus Dad Bod, going head to head.
Maybe one day.
CT would get his ass kicked, but that's okay.
we love CT. I don't know.
It's old CT could fight, so I don't know.
Old CT, obviously not to put him down today. He's killing it today, but Goldberg is scary and big.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. He's CT is going to smash him and eat him. He'll get him. From the women's side of things, though, Matt, who would be great in this wrestling world?
So, again, I'll give you two names. I think an older pick, just strictly because of the hair of it all, I feel Kara stands out as fits right into the mold of a WWE superstar. She's got the red hair going. She's got a personality that a lot of people, she would definitely be a heel because so many people love to hate her. But she might run into some of the Nia Jax issues that Nia Jax is running into. So I don't know if we could, realistically see that. So I'll give you a more recent name, and let's get Emmy on the roster. We watch the most recent season.
Yes.
Barely.
Emmy is a lot. She's a character. So that she would definitely
tear it up and throw her into that rumble, and she would be sending everybody out left and right. So.
Oh yeah. I saw her.
And again, the hair. I guess it's just hair, to have a fun colored hair for me to think you're a contender. But
she's a messy one, isn't she?
She is. Yeah.
I saw the first two episodes of this last season, and I was I don't like her, and that's probably a good thing. This is probably also not a great picture of her, I assume, but
it's standard.
She's a Romanian rock star, right?
She's got her own music. She spent half the reunion singing her song at the very end there. She's got this debut single that she's putting out there, and the whole cast really did like her. They were all supporting her while she they were wearing her alien shirts for the song. So she would definitely pop. I think she would have to be a face. I think she's chaotic, but in a way that fans grab onto. So
In the picture we have pulled up, she's wearing a red bandana and totally giving me Bret Michaels vibes.
Yeah.
Slightly better hair.
Way better hair. Yeah. And so
who's she facing off against?
Facing off against?
I mean, if she's a face, you got to give her.
Emmy has a face.
I don't know. I can't say I know the
facing him.
Yeah. I can't say I know the modern.
I'm trying. You know, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I'm thinking. Like, I'm trying to think of like the undercard. Yeah, like who she could go up against from the undercard. I mean, maybe another authoritarian storyline with her versus Sonya Deville. That'd be
what about
great.
This the superhero Nikki?
Nikki Ash
a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Well, Nikki Ash, she beat up Molly Holly in that Rumble, which was very, very cool to see. Still weird. We'll see where they go with her character, but yeah. So that was great. Thank you so much, Matt.
Thank you for giving the opportunity to throw those in there.
We're so glad we could have you here. Sorry if it was a lot of ranting and raving, because man, that Rumble got on my skin.
No, it's fun to get into the conversation of it all and to hear it, in real time with you guys. So great time.
Where can the people find you?
On Twitter at Matt Liguori. I'm pretty sure I will be popping up on one, if not maybe two, who knows, of the Big Brother podcasts over on RHAP. Well, we are on RHAP. I'm just so used to I haven't been on RHAP in a while. I did not do any BB23 or anything, so it's been a minute since actually being on the feed here. We'll be on upcoming Monday night recap, I believe. So I don't know when people are going to hear this, but I'll be there. And then when the challenge does come back, over there with Brian Scally on the Dom and Colin podcast covering that. And then just regular nonsense over with Amon Adwin on the Choir Room, doing some Glee, some High School Musical, just any of that singing, dancing, all that, the kids shows that we, they're not kids shows, but they're, whatever. Yeah. Having fun with all that. That's where I'm at. And thank you guys again for having me here.
No, I'd love to have you. And thanks for joining us. Always good to hear what the wrestling fans in this RHAP world think. I think I'm supposed to do plugs now.
Yes, you are.
So Matt Scott GW, which could stand, GW could stand for good wrestling this week. I don't know. You could figure it out. Matt Scott GW on platforms. Tweet me and the things. But also, other than the Wrestling Rehab Up, I am here on RHAP with Pod Friends, where I interview amazing people, phenomenal people, fascinating people from this RHAP universe, just getting started. And one of them was the only Mari Fourth, an icon, some might say. We talk about not just these shows, but even more about people's lives. Actually, tomorrow I have an interview coming out with the one, the only RHAP Out of Context. So that's an interesting one. And, exclusive breaking news, exposing people, expose them for who they are. That's kind of what I've been up to for the most part recently. But Mari, tell the people where they can find you.
Okay, so I will be on this week's Nothing But Netflix again. I know, I love dropping in on there with Rob and Chappelle, but I'll mostly be on there for backup. I'll be on there with Sarah. We'll be talking about Murderville this week. So that's going to be very, very fun. Very, very fun show on Netflix. Full of improv. If you like improv, that's where you should go. Of course, I will be dipping into Celebrity Big Brother in the next few weeks or so. So just follow me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much, like the number two, and you'll be able to find me wherever. I'll post everything I'm doing over there on Twitter, like always. Before we go, I just want to talk about, guys, Australian Survivor is back. And of course, we want to join the International Survivor RHAP host, Shannon Gus. Shannon Gus, who we had the pleasure of having on here a few months ago. Listening to her cover Australian Survivor is always a treat because she just knows everything. So every week she covers Australian Survivor with great guests, including former players. Rob was on for week one. And the season just started, and Sandra and her daughter are on it. this season. So I've been watching. Yeah, I've been watching. And you know what? How I've been watching? Because I'm a patron at Rob Has a Podcast. And because I'm a patron at Rob Has a Podcast, I have access to the Rob Has a Podcast Discord. And on that, we've been watching Australian Survivor, and also you get immediate episode links to watch Australian Survivor in our Facebook group as well. So if you need any more of an incentive to sign up for our Patreon, like, that's it, you know, because this season has been really, really good. And if you love Survivor, you'll love Australian Survivor. I've watched a few seasons of Australian Survivor. They are now available on Paramount Plus, like the old seasons. So I'm kind of looking forward to see if I want to go back and binge them, but
you should.
Yeah. But for this season right here, right now, become an RIP patron, and you can come watch with us.
Yes, and we love it. We love it. Just put up a graphic of them. But love anything Shannon does. I'm still questioning my wrestling fandom after Shannon joined us and, like, basically pointed out how insane it is that we watch this stuff. But she's not wrong. She's not wrong. We're still here questioning everything. You imagine how tired we are.
If you're still here with us, please rate, review, and subscribe at the RHAP Reality TV Wrap-Ups or our own podcast feed. Again, you can find our podcast feed by going to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed and subscribing wherever you listen to your podcasts. And then, of course, email us wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, like I said earlier. And, of course, finally, tweet at us. At Wrestling Rehab Up on Twitter, hashtag Wrestling Rehab Up, or our Twitter handles. So this is the end. Thank you so much, both Matts, today.
It was overwhelming, and somehow we made it through.
We did.
I didn't know that I could do this. I thought one of us would have to leave mid-podcast, honestly. So We did it.
We got it. I'm so excited to have been here with you guys. And so we're out. And just remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye, everybody.
Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling lover, half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party. Moolah, Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, structured in the air, huh? Bummer rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling lover, half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every week, and it's feeling like a party.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.